Okay, thank you. Good morning. It's Sunday, July 17th, 2022. This is the regular monthly meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. This is Michael Novick, the chair, and our secretary, Ralph Hawkins, will call the roll. Thank you.
Okay, calling the roll, Grace Aaron. Christina Avalos.
Here.
Jose Benavides. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair is present. Would somebody please mute their mic?
Sandy Charles.
Here.
Thank you, Sandy. Marisol Cruz. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you, Bella. Eric Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you, Eric. Adelia Jones. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Thank you, Ali. Rob Macon.
Here.
Thank you, Rob. Barbara Marbach. Oye Oyeyipo. Oye.
Present.
Thank you. Myla Reason.
I'm here. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Lawrence is presente. Ziri Rideau.
Present.
Thank you, Ziri. Paul Roberson. Oscar Ulloa.
Present.
Thank you, Oscar. Polina Vasiliev. Polina. Thought I saw her. Beth von Guten.
Present. Did you not hear me? I'm here.
That was Polina.
Okay, got you, Polina.
Polina here. Sorry, my mic wasn't working.
Thank you, Polina. Beth von Guten.
Here.
Thank you, Beth. Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
Yes, I am present. And if everyone who is not speaking can please mute yourselves, it will be beneficial. If you're on the phone or on the computer, please mute and unmute when you need to speak. Thank you.
Okay, I'll circle back. Grace Aaron. Jose Benavides. Marisol Cruz. Adelia Jones.
I have a somewhat confusing email from Avelia about her director's report, which I think is asking for an excused absence today because of medical issues her husband is facing.
Okay. Barbara Marbach. Paul Roberson. Harvey Wasserman. Mr. Chair.
Paul Roberson, I believe, also asked for an excused absence because of an exam he's dealing with.
Okay. What about Ruth Strauss? Has she been installed yet?
She was informed that she is the next member up because Alan Beek resigned, and she agreed to do it. She was on the governance call on Wednesday, but she would be. Oh, she's. Yeah, I see her
I'm
on the
here.
Call. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, please call her and note her attendance.
Okay, Ruth, Ruth Strauss, are you present?
I am.
Thank you, Ruth.
Okay, thank you. So do you have a quorum? Lawrence, did you want to say something in terms of the land back acknowledgement?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the honor. Just to invoke Lydia Ponce's name, we do this land back acknowledgement to be better relatives. And to treat each other with respect. I am an unceded territory land of the Tomba, Chumash, Gabilino, and Hachiman people, and I want us to be good caretakers of their land. I direct us to the four sacred directions and the seventh generations to come, and that we remember that we should try to be better relatives to each other, whether we disagree or agree with each other, but it doesn't mean that we can't be respectful. Thank you, Chair. I hope you're happy.
Thank you. Matakiasin means to all my relations and to all my relations on this call. Thank you for your participation. I see that Avelia is with us. Ralph, if you unmute, maybe you can check on her presence.
Hello, I'm present. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a volunteer to keep time for the agenda items and for the speakers?
I'll be happy to do that. It's Mike Heiss.
Thank you.
Just give me the time parameters, please, Michael.
So generally speaking, we keep it to 90 seconds, and you know, we wait to speak a second time for anybody in a discussion. We have several times of public comment that are scheduled throughout the agenda. Those are also 90 seconds each. And the other times for the items are in the agenda, the directors have about 3 minutes to give the reports.
Got it.
And the treasurer would have more time to give a report as well.
Got it. Chair, I will volunteer to keep time for the items.
Thank you.
You could just mention them as you go along. Thank you.
Sure. And I made you a co-host, Lawrence. Thank you. Next item up is to approve the proposed agenda that was sent out. I guess I can read it for the stream. It is... we have the opening business, which includes the timekeeper's proposed agenda, the Pacific Commission statement, consider excused absence request, appeal for funds for KPFK, a progress report on prior motions, approve the minutes of prior meetings, because we have a few to approve that are attached. There's also an amendment to some prior minutes that Eric Jacobson wants to introduce, set our next meetings, and set a time certain for adjournment. We'll have a management report, hopefully. Public comment on that and discussion with the board, PMB directors reports and discussion, and then additional public comment. Somebody needs to mute, I think. Sue Cone Johnson, please mute yourself.
Michael, may I be recognized? This is Myla.
Yeah, let me just finish reading the stream of the agenda.
I'm looking for the agenda, and I'm not. You said it was sent out, but I can't find it.
Look for an email from Ralph Hawkins. I don't know if that's all you're. I'm continuing to read it. Maybe somebody can post the link to the PDF in the chat. We'll have the treasurer and financing report, plus a minority report on the finance committee. Additional public comment. We have the other committee reports and then new business and adjournment. And there are some appendices of the motions that have been submitted, which I'm not going to read at the moment. We'll get to them. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? And if there are changes, we can make them then. Myla?
Well, yeah, that's the problem. I need to read it before I can approve it. So I'm just finding it now.
Okay, Kim Kaufman?
First
Michael,
of all,
Barbara Moorback is in the meeting. Sorry, Kim, go ahead.
I just sent Myla the agenda.
Thank you.
The governance committee asked Bella to make a written minority report, and we didn't receive that. So I don't believe that minority report should be on the agenda.
Okay, she actually sent something to Ralph and myself. I wasn't sure if I should distribute it, so I can distribute it to the LSB. It's very brief.
Well, I think we should see that.
Yeah, all right. Hang on a second.
Are you done, Kim? So I can put your hand up. You can put it down.
All right, I just forwarded everyone what Bella wrote. That's very, very brief. I'm still waiting for a motion to approve the agenda, and if you want to make changes.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto.
I would like to make changes. This is Myla.
I second the motion.
All right. Okay, so it's been moved. Let's hear a changes people want to make. Myla Reason, go ahead, unmute yourself.
Thank you. I'm looking. I agree with Kim Kaufman, and I'm just wondering how much time is allotted for Kim out of the 20 minutes, and how much time is allotted for the minority report. And so I would like to say that we should allot 15 minutes to Kim's report and discussion, followed by 5 minutes for Bella's report and discussion.
Okay, thank you. That was basically we had 15 minutes scheduled, and then we added 5, made it 20 when we got the minority report. It's very, very brief. I think it can be incorporated.
And
it can be incorporated into the discussion. So I think that, you know, we can divide it that way if people wish. It doesn't change the total time. Bella DeSoto has a hand up.
May I be recognized, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Bella. You're recognized, and then Kim.
Okay. So there's no need for us to lose any more time. As you said, it's only a statement, and that's the scope of the minority report for today. The other item will be under new business. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Go ahead.
Well, I object to this even being qualified as a minority report. It has nothing to do with finances. I mean, you know, so it's not a minority report. It's just a grievance by Bella. That's what it is. That's not a minority report to the finance committee. If she has a grievance, take it up in governance. It's not the place for it.
Okay, we're going to move on.
I object to the ruling of the chair.
I had my hand up before Mala spoke without being recognized.
Please do not interrupt everyone. Mr. Reyes, you're recognized.
Well, it's in the nature of minority reports, it is a minority report, and it is obviously a strong disagreement in that report, and so that's reflective of a minority report, and I object to trying to not allow that report to move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The if there's a motion to change the agenda, which I heard from Myla, to give 5 minutes out of the 20 minutes. That's what's on the floor. If she wants to withdraw that.
Yeah, I would like to withdraw it.
Okay, it was never seconded.
Look at this. It's clearly a grievance. It's procedural. It has nothing to do with the numbers that we have to review. It's a distraction, and it really should not be part of the treasurer's report.
Okay, it's not the treasurer's report. It's the finance committee report. It's minority from the finance committee. We're going to move ahead unless you want to strike it.
Point of order, Michael. Point of order.
What's your point of order?
It's not a minority report from the Finance Committee. It is a minority report, and I want to read to you from Roberts. The formal presentation of a, quote, minority report is a privilege that the Assembly may accord, not a matter of right, since the appointment of the committee implies that the Assembly is primarily interested in the findings of the majority of the committee members. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Chair.
So again, I'm asking.
I have a point of order.
What's your point of order?
My point of order, regardless of the citation that Ms. Kaufman just read, it still is up to the body to determine whether such report is going to move forward. And I will ask to you, Chair, for a parliamentary inquiry since Mr. Tatum is on the call.
Okay. Mr. Tatum has his hand up. What the treasurer just read says it's up to the body. That's what she read. It's up to the body. So if the body wants to strike the report, the body can do so by making a motion to do so. Otherwise, I'll hear from Mr. Tatum for a minute, and then I'd like to move on. I also note the presence of Grace Aaron on the call, so if she can speak up so the treasurer can, secretary can take note, because you missed the roll.
This is Grace. I'm present.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Tatum?
So it's Bob.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the chair. The citation from Robert says that the final decision is up to the body, and that's the 20-some people that are on this call. In other words, it would take a vote, and Robert's rule says exactly what Lauren said, and that is it's up to the body to accept this or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Myla, your hand is up, and then Bella.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we do not accept this minority report as part of our agenda for the Finance Committee. And so I'd like to remove that from the agenda.
Okay. Is there a second? Is there a second for that?
Yes. Fred, a seconds.
Okay. Thank you. We're just going to vote on that. I don't want to waste any more time in this discussion. Ralph, can you call the roll on striking the minority report from the agenda?
Michael, sorry, this is Paulina.
Yes.
Did you ask if there were any objections?
I'm assuming there's an objection because there's a minority report. And
okay.
So I assume the person wants to make that report. So let's just please move to a vote.
Okay, taking the vote, Grace Aaron.
Pass.
Christina Avalos.
Abstain.
Point of order.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Who made the point of order?
Beth, could you please state?
Yes. Okay. Restate the motion.
What a yes and a no means.
It's a motion to strike the minority report from the Finance Committee from the agenda of this meeting. If
so
you vote
yes,
a yes vote would strike the report.
Thank you.
A no vote would leave the report on the agenda as it currently is in the draft agenda.
Okay, moving on. Jose, Fred Blair?
I vote yes to strike the report.
Got you, Fred. Sandy Childs?
Pass.
Sandy passes. Bella DeSoto?
You muted, Bella.
To keep on the agenda.
All right, that's a no.
Got it. Eric Jacobson?
Pass.
Okay. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you, Avelia. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you, Ali. Rob Macon?
Abstain.
Rob abstains. Oye, Oye Yippo. Oye, how do you vote? Okay, skipping him. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Thank you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Lawrence votes no. Ziri Rideau?
No.
Ziri votes no. Ruth Strauss?
Do we have the statement? I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, it was the email, Ruth.
Okay, sorry. Pass.
Okay. Oscar Ulloa?
No.
Thank you, Oscar. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
Beth von Guten?
Abstain.
Beth abstains. Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Thank you, Carlos. Circling back, Grace Aaron? Grace, how do you vote?
Need to unmute, Grace.
Sorry. Abstain.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he has a hand up.
Sandy Childs?
Yes.
Thank you, Sandy. Eric Jacobson?
Abstain.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oye, Oye Yepo? Has he left the call?
Oye put in the chat that he voted yes. I guess we're having trouble hearing him.
That's not valid, Chair.
I'll have to come back on the call. You had a hand up, and then he seems to have disappeared.
Robert has a hand up.
Yeah.
Yes. I vote yes.
Who is that?
Barbara Marbach.
Okay. Barbara, thank you. You vote yes?
That's correct.
I got you. Ruth Strauss?
I'm sorry. I can't find it. Abstain. Thank you.
Ruth, I just emailed it to you. You're probably not on the LSB 1 list yet, so I apologize. Check your email.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Only Oye is left.
Hi, Ralph. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you, Oye. One moment.
The chair hasn't voted and wishes to vote no.
Okay. Chair votes no.
Chair, request information.
Yes, what's your question?
My question is, there's been a lot of questions whether that report should be disseminated to the public before we take the vote. Usually we go to public comment, but that didn't happen.
The first public comment isn't scheduled till normally this is only kind of boilerplate stuff, so the public comment is not till the management report. If somebody wants to put the motion in the chat, maybe somebody can read it.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto.
Wait, the secretary is going to report the tally. The tally is 8 yes, 6 no, and 6 abstentions. The motion passes.
Okay. The minority report is removed from the agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
What about Barbara Marbach?
She voted yes.
Mel, you have your hand up? Is this on the agenda?
Yes, my hand is up, Mr. Chair. I was not able to motivate my issue. A very simple two-line statement. I find this to be most unfair and unprocedural process. I feel that this was not handled properly, but I'm going to let it go for now. I'm going another route. Thank you.
Thank you. I will point out it took much longer to discuss voting to remove this from the agenda. It would have taken to have it on the agenda and listen to it for 30 seconds. Moving on, are there any other changes to the agenda? Is there any opposition to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next item,
Michael,
on the...
Michael, I couldn't unmute myself.
Yes, what is it?
I don't believe it's on the agenda, but I did suggest in the governance committee that we prepare for having in-person meetings again. Now, I do understand that that
no, was... No, it is on the agenda, Grace. It's under the next meetings. It's item J.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, request for information. Can you please give me the times of the items?
Yes. We have 20 minutes for the management report and discussion.
One at a time.
Okay. All right. As we get to it, thank you. We'll get to it then. Going through the rest of the agenda... That's been approved. The next item on the agenda is the Pacifica mission statement. This is someone who would like to remind us of why we're here together.
I can read it, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto.
Go ahead.
The Pacifica mission statement to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any of all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting, operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news and all matters vitally affecting the community.
Thank you. Also, again, I want to reiterate, please mute if you're not speaking, because it's very distracting to get noise over phone lines or computer lines. The next item on our agenda is to consider excused absence request. I believe the only one at this point is from Paul Roberson, who is preparing for a very important exam and couldn't make it. Is there a motion to accept that?
So moved, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto.
Thank you. Any objection to approving Paul's excused absence request? Okay, hearing none, that is approved. Appeal for funds for KPFK. We'll be hearing from the treasurer later. I think, you know, it's vital. There are a few items on today's agenda related to that, including an effort to seek discretionary funding from elected officials and other ideas that might be coming. I think it's critical. We have a lot of bills that are coming due, and we have to be able to pay them to stay in operation. And the station still provides a service that is unmatched elsewhere with all the problems it may have. And we urge everyone on the board and everyone listening and in the community to support the station, to encourage others to become members of the station. And if you're in an organization or a faith-based group or a community organization, to try to get other members of your group or your society or your union, your workplace, to become members immediately. Mr. Reyes, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out if I could identify Harvey Wasserman. Is the 6-1 phone number? Harvey, is that you? Okay. All right. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, 614 is muted, has to unmute. Progress report on prior motions. We did pass a motion urging that the, if possible, the town hall be a simulcast. I believe the response from management was that probably won't happen. We do want to pursue to make sure it's well promoted. I believe that there was a cart that was sent and I'm not sure if I've heard it run yet. The other item was you passed a motion supporting Zero Rideau's effort to try to rebuild a news department through volunteer efforts. Zero, did you want to speak to that briefly? You have to unmute.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I wanted to just briefly say where we are in the process. So I've contacted, as I said last time, various universities. In the moment, it's Northridge, Santa Monica College, and also the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, where I got so far good responses. I wanted to speak this Thursday at 2:00 for the people who are interested in. I will send a Zoom link out about, you know, like a brainstorm where you can all participate to give me ideas of which groups of activists you believe should be involved. If you have any special access to groups or contact persons or numbers, please give them to me so we can, you know, get as many of the people on the ground involved. We're working right now on seeing what formats, you know, we best have. I'm open to input there. So if you want to come join, I will send a Zoom link to everybody this Thursday at 2 p.m. And then our goal is to have the team together in about 2 weeks. That will at least be the basic skeleton crew that will do the programming, to have a pilot produced by middle or latest end of August. And by that time, of course, also speak to the GM, interim GM and ED, and then have by latest end of September, they'll be ready to go on the air. That's where we are right now. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you. So we'll post that also. Probably the KPFTX, I think, if we get the meeting set up, the Zoom meeting.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Go ahead, Mr. Reyes, and then I see also Myla's hand up.
I think Myla was first, so if you could take her then. Please come to me.
Mr. Chair, this is Myla. I just wanted to note that 614 is Harvey Wasserman. He's in attendance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll rename him. Thank you, Mother. So, Chair, I believe that you might have jumped over the agenda. We did not go to a few minutes.
No, that's next.
That's next? Okay, thank
you. Yeah, thank you. The next item is the approval of the minutes, and there are several minutes because we have the minutes of the last meeting. We have the minutes of the February meeting where there was an error in the minutes. And then there's, I believe, also an amendment to some previously approved minutes from Eric Jacobson. So why don't we deal with that in that order? The first is approval of the minutes of last month's meeting, the May meeting. Is there a motion to approve those?
So moved, Bella.
Okay, thank you. Any objections to approving the minutes of the May meeting? Okay, hearing none, those were approved.
The May meeting is my item, Michael.
Oh, that's your item. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I didn't realize that was the May meeting. All right, so let's hear your amendment then, Eric.
Okay, thank you. took the trouble to re-listen to the May meeting with regard to the body's handling of my motion on the assassination of Shireen Abu Akleh. And I wanted to propose a substitute a narrative, which I sent to all members on July 13th at 11:52 a.m. It would take me a minute or two to read it, and it's my proposed substitute for the current version that the last version Ralph has circulated. By way of why I want this to be changed is that the board acquitted itself very, very nicely, in my opinion, and I wanted there to be a little bit of a more detailed than usual recital of what we did. It's still not very long. So with your permission, Michael, may I just read the proposed substitute language?
Well, I think the summary is that you want a fuller description of the discussion that took place in the motion to strike Demonic and so on. And
that's correct. I don't know whether people can refer back to their emails now. It doesn't seem practical. People will either agree or disagree that this is appropriate.
Yeah.
Why don't I just take a minute?
Okay, quickly, please.
On May 15th, 2022, at 6:54 a.m., Eric C. Jacobson emailed all his LSB colleagues the following cover line, together with a draft statement regarding the assassination of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. Quote, at our LSB meeting This morning, I will be moving to add to the agenda approval, hopefully by unanimous consent, of the following statement of our representative body in response to Israel's demonic assassination of beloved Palestinian American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh.
I'm sorry, I thought you just...
Michael, this will take another 60 to 75 seconds.
Please, point of order.
I'm sorry.
This is a substitute minutes.
I'm sorry.
This is governance. I was allocated a small amount of time. And now
point of order.
I'm sorry. Stop shouting. Let me finish speaking. Eric, if you can just say the change you want to make in the minutes, we're not going to recapitulate the entire motion at this point.
This is not recapitulation. This is the substitute minutes that I'm proposing. That they are longer than the normal minutes, but I think it's...
In that case, hang on a second. We're going to take Myla's point of order. What's your point of order? Myla, you have to unmute.
Thank you. I'm sorry for shouting earlier. This is dilatorious. This is ridiculous. We've already gone over this before in the last minute. This is just wasting time.
All right. Let me just ask.
There are no minutes on this, Michael. I just want to make clear. There's no past minutes. I objected to the version that was offered, and this is an open situation, and this is on one item on the
I understand the
May meeting. That's it.
Yes. Okay. So
with 60 more seconds, I can put it on the record what we're voting on.
Quickly, please.
Silence is complicity, and it is morally imperative that we
finish. Please finish.
I am finishing, but it's going to take 60 more seconds to recite the rest of it. I mean, am I going to be allowed at it or not?
I'm saying stop talking about whether you're going to talk about it. Just read it and be done, please.
It's part of the minutes, Michael. You're not getting it, but okay, I'll skip down a passage. At the LSB meeting that morning, by way of brief motivation prior to reading the statement, I referred to members to my cover email just stated, summarized. After Jacobson completes reading the statement, the following discussion and action on the LSB statement ensues. Ali Lexa states that he is speaking to the motion as, quote, the only Arab American, unquote, on the LSB, and moves to strike the word demonic as a condition of his support for the statement. Eric Jacobson states that he accepts Ali's motion as a, quote, friendly amendment, and explains his late inclusion of the word demonic twice in the draft motion text as a shorthand means of denoting the horror of the murder. Lawrence Reyes notes Pacifica's identity as a social justice institution, states that the horrific murder of a journalist requires the LSB's adoption of the statement as a matter of journalistic solidarity, and urges approval of the statement text with the word demonic stricken. Myla Reason thanks Jacobson for drafting the statement, expresses her abhorrence as a secular Jewish American of Israel's expression of the Palestinian oppression of the Palestinians, declares her support for the statement, and calls for the LSB to approve the statement forthwith in the interest of time. Per the chair, that's, quote, Myla's motion to close debate. Lawrence moves for unanimous adoption of the statement with the word demonic stricken, per the chair, quote, Lawrence's motion for passage by acclamation, unquote. Bella DeSoto objects to removing the word demonic from the statement on the grounds that the word factually depicts the heinousness of the crime. Michael Novick states that the word demonic is inhuman terminology, has religious connotations, and refers to non-human actors and forces, and is therefore inappropriate. The chair calls for the roll on Ali's motion to strike the word demonic in the two places it appears in the motion, and the secretary records the vote. I'll skip the vote. This tally
is
15 yay, 2 nay, and no objections. The motion to strike the word demonic in the two places it appears carries. The chair asks if there are any objections to the motion as amended. Hearing none, the motion to approve the statement as amended is adopted. Bella DeSoto belatedly objects, and the chair notes her objection for the record. That's exactly what happened, based on verbatim listening to the tape.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to that change to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will be changed to reflect that. Is there any objection to the minutes as amended? Hearing none, the minutes are accepted. And please, in the minutes, then please strike the word demonic from the report of the motion in both places. Thank you. Moving on, we have the minutes of February. There was an error in the minutes of February, and the draft agenda that was circulated, the wrong language was included for the motion from the governance regarding decorum, a change in the decorum policy. The governance committee passed a motion for consideration by the LSB referencing muting of a member, and that's what was discussed. I reviewed the actual audio, and during the meeting, I pointed out to the body that the language in the draft agenda was not correct. I read the correct language that was approved by the body. The minutes of that meeting did not reflect that. The minutes said that the motion was appended and the motion was not appended, neither in the form that it had been in the draft agenda incorrectly, nor in the form that was discussed at the meeting. So Ralph just circulated revised minutes, because we did approve those minutes of February, even though they were incorrect. So the body is being asked to approve the revision that reflects the actual language. We're not going to discuss the decorum policy at this meeting. We're just going to correct the record. And if the decorum policy needs to be changed, which it might, because now there's no language except referencing electronic meetings where people can be muted. So that's a problem, but we're not discussing that. We're just going to correct the record on the meeting of February. The February LSB meeting. Is there a motion to accept the revised minutes in place of the original minutes?
I motion.
Okay, that's Christine Avalos has moved.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, I see your hand, Bella. And please, can the secretary please note that Marisol Cruz is on the call. Marisol, if you can unmute yourself and speak up to indicate your presence.
Chair, is a second required? If so, I second,
and the owner put it up for sale on May.
So the second's required.
Okay, thank you.
And one last thing, Chair. John P. Gary the third has volunteered to keep time for agenda items, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Bella, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Marisol Cruz has not been heard.
I think she unmuted and there was a lot of sound over her line while Lawrence was talking. Can you unmute again, Marisol, and speak up and whatever background noise, try to eliminate?
I don't know. I think the market is about a...
Yeah, that was Marisol. There's some noise in the background. That's why she's staying muted.
Mr.
Was
Chair,
that it, Bella?
Yes, I would like to be recognized.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You. So regarding, there is an item, as you know, under new business that I submitted, which has to do with the meeting decorum. We're doing, Mr. Chair, thank you. What we're doing today is actually approving the correction, to be officially correct, because corrections were requested a few months ago. And this, I want to point out, is from February 16th of 2022. We had continuations meeting after continuation meeting. And we have to be specific. It was from February 16th, the minute.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Kim, is this on the agenda item we're discussing?
Chair, a point of order.
What's your point of order?
Is the treasurer allowed to participate almost as a board member? I find that highly strange, because she was able to.
Okay, thank you. That's correct.
Thank you.
All right.
So I can speak, correct?
No.
I'm an ex officio member. I'm a member. I cannot vote, period.
No, it does not say it. The only ex officio member of the board is the general manager, interim general manager.
I'm an officer of this board.
Yes, you're an officer.
I don't think that is the same right. She's an elected officer. That does not give me
She's an elected officer. She's elected by the board. Just make your statement, please. I don't want to spend any more time on this than we have to. If people would stop objecting to everything, Myla talked about dilatory. The whole discussion about allowing or not allowing a minority report is extremely dilatory. So just make your point, Kim.
The motion that Bella wants to...
No, we're not talking... I'm sorry. We're not talking about the new business. We're only talking about the correction to the minutes from February
6th. Okay. I thought you were moving on to the rest of the agenda.
I'm trying to get approval for the correction of the minutes to February 16th. Is there any objection?
I apologize.
Thank you. Okay, hearing no objection, the correction to the minutes is approved. The issue that's in that correction will be dealt with at another time. Next item on the agenda is next meetings, and there is a proposal to consider having an in-person meeting. Grace Aaron, do you want to speak to that? Or a hybrid meeting? Grace, you have to unmute.
I think that, I mean, the COVID cases have increased considerably. I had been thinking that it might be a good idea to have an in-person meeting, an outdoor in-person meeting, so that we can get to know each other a little bit better and see each other in person. But since the COVID cases have gone up considerably recently, I think it would be out of the question for August, possibly September, but we need to do some organizing to figure out how to do a hybrid meeting for people who are too far away and still want to use Zoom, but some people might want to meet in person. And this takes a little bit of planning, logistical planning, because having an electronic participation, especially if the meeting is outdoors, is a little bit problematic. I don't think that COVID will calm down enough to have indoor in-person meetings with all the accoutrements that are available in an indoor setting. And having electronic capability in an outdoor setting is a little bit more problematic. But I think we should consider that for the future and hopefully look forward to some ability to have at least a hybrid meeting that is Zoom, but also in person.
Okay, thank you. I have three hands up on this item. There's no motion, actually, but I have Lawrence Reyes, Ruth Strauss, and Ziri Rito. Lawrence?
Yes, I just want to mention that that the spike in cases have declared LA County on high alert. So, and they are thinking of taking other measures as well. So, just
thank you. Okay, Ruth?
Yeah, hi. I just want to second the wiseness of Grace Aaron. The newest mutant is highly transmissible more than the other ones and resistant to the vaccines. Thank you.
Okay, Ziri?
I want to say that these cases that are being reported are not ending in hospitalization nor death. So they are just positives that have been measured. There's no big uproar and actually really sickness. And I think also that we can, of course, do outdoor Zooms. We do it a lot in my work. And you can even from your cell phone get a very stable Zoom going to people, you know, who don't want to participate in person. So I very much support meeting in person. I have almost met nobody on that board, and I'm being here almost for a year now. Thank you.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto, and then maybe somebody craft a motion regarding maybe a working group to figure out how to conduct a hybrid meeting. Bella, go ahead.
Yes, I support that. I would have to be hybrid, yes, to give an option. In my family, I agree with Ziri. What is happening now is just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks downtime. And if you pump up enough folic and zinc, you'll be just as new. Thank you.
Christina raised her hand and lowered it. I'm not sure she wants to speak.
No, I just wanted to, we had family that this is still not a light situation. So I support the hybrid.
Thank you. Ruth has a hand up again.
Yeah. Just to correct the records, yes, hospitalizations are going up, and I think they went up by something, you know, greater than 50% the past week, and that is precisely why Barbara Ferrer has issued it. So it's a moot point about cases going up or not. Hospitalizations have, and thank you. I support hybrid. Thank you. Or not, none for right now and hybrid for later.
Okay, so there's no motion on the floor. I don't want to have a long discussion about COVID and how severe it is. It's not appropriate to this discussion right now. The only question is, do we want to suggest some kind of working group that could plan a hybrid meeting for sometime in the future, probably not the August meeting? Okay, are there a couple of volunteers for that? Okay, see, hand up from Zeri. Grace, are you willing to participate in putting together a group that can discuss how to conduct a hybrid outdoors and Zoom meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So,
Chair, I will participate as well.
Okay. So I have Lawrence, Zeri, and Grace, and if other people want to join, get in touch with them. So the next meeting will be the third Sunday in August via Zoom, and we'll think about future possibilities. Time certain for adjournment. It's already 11 o'clock. This was supposed to be a 136-minute meeting, and we spent more than the 20 minutes allotted on the opening business. So we still have about 115 minutes of business ahead of us. It's that would be close to 2 hours from now. That would be 1 o'clock. Is there somebody want to set a time certain of 1?
So moved, Chair. I moved to set a time certain of 1 o'clock.
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, we will have that. Please try to respect the times that are in the thing. I will say what's happening. We have a management report and a discussion, particularly around the PMB mandate to the local station board to seek discretionary funds from elected officials. We have 20 minutes scheduled for that, including board discussion and then public comment. I'm trying to see who's on the call. Is the IGM or the ED here with us? I guess not. Ali, as the assistant to the GM, did you want to give any piece of a management report today?
Sure. Actually, the PNB mandate is going to be pretty well covered in Beth Van Gunten's PNB director's report. So I'm going to defer comments about that to after her report because she outlined it pretty accurately. I will state that the part of the national board's mandate included a national day or 2 days of fundraising that was focused on the Pacifica Radio Archives. Unfortunately, it didn't raise as much as we had hoped, but it does help the Pacific Archives to continue to operate and function, even though they have a lot of shortcomings and a lot of the struggles also that we're sharing in the same building at KPFK. We did end our recent fund drive. That the last day was July 3rd, we ended our month-long fund drive and we raised approximately $200,000, which was $50,000 short of our goal. And of course, that money is being used. We have a lot of physical repairs at the building that we need done. We also owe quite a bit of money to our utilities and other providers. I think the treasurer's report is going to talk about that. I did want to talk about an event that I just sent to the board. Hector Resendez of Canto Tropical is putting on an event on Saturday, August 20th. It's a salsa fundraising party for KPFK. And I want to say that this is the type of community-oriented event that I hope the board and committee members will really get behind and promote because it brings together all of the different interests and listeners at the station. We're going to be recording carts in Spanish and English. We will hope to promote it across all programs and shows. It's going to have a $20 suggested donation, but of course we'll honor our tradition of saying $20 donation. However, no one will be turned away for lack of funds. So everyone's invited to come and participate. We could use some volunteers to help run the event. We really want this to be a big success and hopefully a model for future sort of all-encompassing, all-welcoming events. And we are going to have online ticket sales available this week so we can start forward promoting it immediately and start collecting donations for the event. The two groups that are performing are donating their time and their performances. The venue is being donated. It's Rudy's Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles on Pomona Boulevard, which happens to have excellent food. So I'm very excited about this event, and I hope that we can start putting more things like this together. Positive, fun events to bring in people and listeners, and also hopefully attract new people that maybe didn't know about KPFK that might like salsa or different things like that to come and join us in this celebration. And we are struggling at the station. We've lost a few more staff. We used to operate with 9 board ops. We are now operating with 4. And you understand that we have to cover every hour of every day with a board operator. So now you've gone from 9 people that were able to divide up those hours to 4 that are being extremely stretched thin. So it's a real challenge to keep the station up and running and on the air. And I want to commend all the board operators that are still there plugging away to keep us going. That's about all I have to say. If anyone wants to ask me any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Yeah, thank you. We do have some time for discussion and public comment. I see a hand up from Lawrence Reyes and Yuri Rideau, and then I have a question as well. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Ali, for that report on Cantor Tropicale. I'm a big supporter of that show. Can you please put the announcement back in the chat, because I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. In regards to some of the events that the Spanish language program is also putting forward, is there any way that the that they could receive similar support that Campo Tropical is receiving? I will be at the event on August 20th because I am a site setup, so I would definitely be there. And do you know what 2 bands are going to be donating their time, I think?
Did you want to answer that, Ali? I think there's also a question about where the venue is.
Yeah, I just sent everyone a flyer. The venue is Rudy's LA, 5226 East Pomona Boulevard, Los Angeles. It's sort of towards East LA. The groups are, the first group is called Divinas, and the second is the Susie Hats and Latin Band. It's all on the flyer that I sent everyone. And also to ask the question about other events being quote unquote squashed. We've never squashed any event. We can't have events in the parking lot at the station open to the public because we don't have the insurance or the security. Rudy's has insurance, liability insurance, and they're going to supply bouncers and security for the event. So that's all being covered.
Just a follow up, Ali. I haven't gotten the email. Can you please email it to me again so I could send it out to my list? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Ziri?
Yes, thank you for your report, Ali. I have a question, first of all, about you said that 5 board ops have been let go. Is that something that the IGN decided, or who was the decision maker on this?
I didn't say anyone was let go. They've all quit.
Oh, they all quit. Okay, so I wanted to know a little bit more about this, if you could elaborate. And the second thing is about, are there any plans on hiring more people? Is there, since there was a budget for these 9 board operators before, do you need any help in finding new people? And then the last thing, my funeral home can offer insurance for certain events, because we have also a big event insurance depending on the venue. So anybody who plans an event where insurance is the obstacle, please talk to me and maybe we can figure something out using my insurance. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Please mute whoever has the radio playing some weird Eric Jacobson is next, unless Ali wants to respond about the possibility of hiring additional board operators.
So there's not a budget for 9 board operators. There's a budget for 6. So we are looking to hire 2 more right now.
Thank you.
And I can't give details about why people sure. quit. That's their own business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Eric Jacobson?
Yes. I wanted to ask a question on the board ops as well. I'm probably one of the longest listeners to Roy of Hollywood show over decades. And he always introduces himself, pre-COVID anyway, that he's the host, producer, and engineer, Roy of Hollywood. Does his show require a board op cover in addition to his own self-engineering? I've always been curious about that. And is there any thing you can say about that that might actually help us economize a little more if he has currently additional board op coverage above and beyond his own capability of being an engineer, which I always got the impression he was in a
yes, kind I got of, your question. I understand. Go ahead. Roy runs his own board. He doesn't have an additional board op. During the height of COVID, he didn't want to come into the station, so we did bring a board op to run his show. But that is no longer the case. He comes in and does it himself.
That's what I was
given out a while ago.
No one was happier than me that Roy and was able to be accommodated with his own situation. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks. Ruth Strauss?
Yeah, hi, Ali. I'm a big fan of Canto Tropical. Is the event inside or outside? And if it's inside, are there tables or anything outside? Thank you.
Yeah, as it states in the flyer, I hope you'll all get it soon. I'll send it a third time, but it's in the outside patio. There will be an inside portion in part of the restaurant where there'll be like buffet tables, and also there'll be tabling for KPFK at the entrance to the parking lot and also to the entrance of the patio. But it's an outdoor event, so that should alleviate some
Perfect.
Worries about COVID.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks. I don't see any other hands from board members. Is there public comment on the management report?
Public comment, you have Andrew Weiss and caller number 3.
Okay, yes, thank you. Andrew, go ahead, and then, oops. Yeah, Andrew Weiss.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Pardon me, this is Andrew Weiss. Regarding the Pacifica National Board mandate for monthly report to the listener, I would like to know what the current management is planning to do to fulfill that. Currently, KPFK is not in compliance with the Pacifica National Board communications mandate. It has not been in compliance for over a year, and it needs to be corrected immediately. We listeners need a monthly on-air report to the listener so we can dialogue directly with management. So I would like to know what is being done to correct this month and every month going forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Any response, or you want to wait till the end and respond, Ali?
No response.
Okay, I will say we did have a LSB report to the listener last month, and I did make the ED suggestion we try to schedule that on a regular basis. I'm trying to see if that can happen, but it's a little unclear because of the financial situation. I did urge the management and the ED to also do their reports. Michael Heiss?
Yes. Oh, thank you. I didn't realize I was there is calling user number 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Noted.
Person on the phone with your hand raised, you're showing us calling user 3. Did you wish to speak?
Yes, Jonathan Markowitz.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask Ali a question. Is it possible that any of the current programmers might be able to add on to their duties and be trained in the procedures to be their own board op? Or are all the programmers already their own board ops? And if it's possible to do that, could that possibly take up some of these duties while you have a shortage of board ops?
Okay, why don't we just accumulate the questions, and if Ali has a response, he can give it at the end. I have Michael Heiss, Nancy Sidebar, Naritomi, Laura Levinson, and Kelly Flores in that order. Michael?
Yes, thank you. I have a question either Mr. Wexler or perhaps Stuart can answer. Ali, you mentioned the need for some physical or electrical, mechanical things that need to be done. Is this in the category of deferred maintenance, or are these critical things that, if not taken care of rapidly and properly, could you know, potentially take us off the air for whatever reason? And also, is there anything you can comment? Are the phones finally working properly? Thank you.
Thanks. Nancy? No, you muted yourself, Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy. Nancy Sabar Naritomi, you're free to speak. Please go do so. No, you muted yourself again. I'll go on to Laura Levinson. We'll come back to you. Laura? Laura Levinson? I'm not sure what's happening. I don't hear Laura either.
Star six?
No, they're not muted. They're not showing as muted. I just don't hear anything. Kelly Flores, go ahead. No, you just...
I got unmuted. I unmuted myself, and then what happened? Hey, so good morning, everybody. I am just participating here, and I just want to let you know that it would be a lot easier for me if the meetings were on Zoom or in hybrid, so I could participate. But also, because I am deaf and hard of hearing, it's super, super hard for me to keep up when there are like written reports being orally told. My computer is on the highest volume, and I still have trouble hearing people. So if the meetings were more accessible, and I think it would facilitate too, for Michael or whoever's chairing, like to have things written, submitted ahead of time so people have an understanding of where the agenda is going for time-wise. I also noticed a bit of hostility in the chat, a lot of it. And I just wondered, I mean, I'm sure you guys have one, but is there a code of ethics or like norms for the meetings for participation? Because for somebody like me who wants to get involved, it's very off-putting. Most of the spaces I go into are very, I don't know, arm in arm, sisterlyhood. It's just a different type of a meeting. And then the last comment about, you know, events, I think that the Canto Tropical event is amazing. And I think there should be a lot more events. The Griffith Park event would be fabulous. I disagree that security is always needed. I think that we have a lot of community people who know, even people in this room who know how to do security. So we don't have to have a paid security guard necessarily. If there's alcohol, I agree that that might be a little bit precarious. So that might be necessary. But those are my two cents. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate being here.
Thank you. I did turn on the captioning live transcription. I'm sorry, I hadn't done a suitor, but you should be able to see that if you're on a computer now at the bottom of the screen. And thanks for the reminder. So, Nancy, are you able to speak now? Nancy Sabar Naritomi? Don't hear you. Laura Levinson? Okay, your hand is up, Laura, but I can't hear you. Okay, I see a hand up from calling you before. Somebody else on the phone who has their hand up.
Yes, this is Jonathan Markowitz calling again. I wanted to
No, I'm sorry, Jonathan, that's not you.
Okay.
There's someone else on a phone that is not labeled. Jonathan is labeled as John Markowitz. Go ahead.
Can you hear?
Yes, go ahead. You're breaking up a little.
I'm hoping that Ali Lexa will tell us where the job postings have been circulated for the two board ops. I'd like to know whether those people would be considered employees or contractors, as has been the trend in Pacifica. And I would like to know whether and this is not personal, I understand he's the webmaster, but the website is desperately in need of some improvement, and I'm wondering if there has been an estimate of the cost to have someone build something that is more modern, more useful, or have someone really go through and edit and remove all the dead stuff. I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Janine Rowan has a hand up. Janine, you have to unmute yourself. There you
go. That's fine. Well, I did put something in the chat because of the what Andrew brought up about having the report to the listeners. And so, you know, I didn't know whether Mo Thomas was asked to join this meeting because this would be something that could be brought up with him directly. But because he's not here, the interim GM, I think what Andrew was saying is that perhaps on part of as part of the management team, Ali could comment on, instead of just saying no comment, you know, how can we start to do this report? Because if we do get to a fundraising committee report, I did speak with Stephanie Wells yesterday, and there are so many things to update the membership about. Everything from the tower, the air conditioning, and by not hearing about this, I don't think people realize the details and the depth of the situation for the station. So it is much needed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see your hands up again, John, but I think we're at time for the public comment. You can come back on later. I do want to try to move the agenda forward, unless somebody has a quick.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yeah, hang on a second, Bella. I was speaking. If Ali has a response, it's 2.5 minutes for a management response to the public comment.
Sure. Hold on. Let me. Okay. So the first one was asking about report to the listeners. So we have been having a monthly LSB report to the listeners, and we have been discussing a general manager or interim general manager report to the listener that we'll try and get on the air before the next fund drive. So it is understood that it's something that needs to be done. It's tough because, like many of you know, Mo is also helping to run WPFW, and he's helping to physically build the new station facilities for KPFT.
Sorry, I don't know whether. I'm sorry, I muted Ali accidentally because I thought there was sound coming from him. It was coming from somewhere else. Continue, Ali. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like I said, it's tough because he's helping three stations right now, but we're well aware that a GM report to the listener program should be scheduled and aired. So it's something that's being, we're looking for the scheduling to do that. The next question was about board ops. Yes, we've identified several programmers that can run their own board, and we are hoping to expand the hours that they run their own board to perhaps the shows before and after them so that we could use their skills in the distribution of blocks for the existing board ops. As far as the job listing, that's going to be published next week. So sometime next week, there's going to be carts airing, and there'll be a listing on the website soliciting people to apply for board ops, which would be as a contract position at start. We'd be looking for part-time board ops as contractors first. Other question was about maintenance. We have one air conditioning on the roof that is completely unusable. It needs to be replaced. The estimate is going to be about $18,000 to replace it. That is the air conditioner for the Pacifica Radio Archives building. And on hot days, it's sweltering up there. We're using box fans to try and circulate air in and out of there, but it's quite hot. And then the other air conditioning unit over the master control center needs about $2,000 to $3,000 worth of maintenance to get it back to air conditioning mode. Other things, the electric bill, we're in arrears. These are all things that could potentially take us off the air if there was a major failure of any of these units. The telephones are not fixed. We are still suffering due to the so-called improvement steps that were taken previously by a contractor that came in and kind of obliterated our phone system. And we have done workarounds to try and get our phone systems working, but we have a lot of shortcomings in the capabilities of our phones. I think that answers everything that was mentioned. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on the agenda. We have the PMB director's reports. I do see there were several hands came back up, but maybe they can apply to that. We do want to get to the question of the PMB mandate to local station boards to seek discretionary funds, which I think is pertinent. So alphabetically would be Ali Alexa, Vilya Jones, Lawrence Reyes, and Beth Von Gunten reporting.
I'd like to give mine after Beth Von Gunten.
Okay. Avelia, you had some questions about, I'm not sure if, it's, if I see you regarding what to report. Did you want to give any report today?
I don't have an exact report, okay. Except, you know, as a director, I'm wondering if I'm if an assignment is made as to which committees or activities I am to report on, because I do attend meetings, but I don't know that I'm responsible to report on which one. That's all mixed up, but that's my problem.
Okay, so typically the director's report on a business that the PNB itself has conducted, and then if they have been elected to various PNB committees by the PNB, they might report on those committees as well, or else we do have delegate members of some of the committees will sometimes report in addition. So,
I don't observe that anyone from the audit committee is here PNB, or will there be a report? I can say that the information I have to share with everyone is that an election was held. Eileen Rosen was elected chair this past week. And according to Eileen Rosen, they are waiting in that committee for a report for the 2020 audit. And until that is received, she claims that it has not been received as of yesterday. There's nothing to report there. Now, that I'm pretty clear about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto.
I'm sorry, Bella. We're going to hear from the directors first.
I am on the audit committee.
I understand.
Point of information.
Okay.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Bella.
I don't know.
The audit?
For the minor league Hispanic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I am on the audit committee and I need to correct the record. The audit committee is presiding over the fiscal year 2021 audit. And those are the numbers that we are waiting for. We've had two cancellations this year, meetings. It's going very, very slow, and we do not have a date set for the next meeting.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
The report. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
Okay, Mr. Reyes. Lawrence, did you want to report? You sent around the report. I think I circulated, but did you want to speak to it? You have your hand up on your phone line. I don't see you on the computer now. Lawrence, go ahead. Oh, you lowered your hand. All right, Beth Von Gunten.
Thank you. One moment. Yes. And I guess just a procedural Zoom muted me and didn't let me back in once earlier today, and I had to hang up and dial back in. That was early on, and I suspect it may be happening to others too. So as to my report, as the most severe financial crisis in Pacifica's long history deepens, KPFK has managed to continue to meet its most pressing financial obligations, allowing continued operations, though it remains burdened by significant debt. Further cost reductions are actively being pursued. After Pacifica submitted full payment to financial services provider NEDA to bring its account up to date, work continues apace to complete the final stages of the current 2021 audit, for which the California Attorney General's office has granted an extension. Electronic radio production and transmission equipment requires constant cooling to be able to operate through the heat of the California summer. Keep KPFK on the air, as well as to preserve the irreplaceable Pacifica Radio Archive materials housed in the same building, urgent air conditioning system maintenance and repairs are necessary. Any possible support toward these significant, unavoidable, imminent expenses would be greatly appreciated to keep us on the air. The Pacifica National Strategic Planning Committee has been scheduling additional meetings on an emergency basis to address the ongoing network-wide financial crisis. One early result has been an initial two-day national on-air fund drive with a focus on the Pacifica Radio Archive. Additional such efforts are planned. All Pacificans are urged to set aside our many legendary differences now for the sake of Pacifica as a whole. Please consider this a standing invitation to take an active role in the Pacifica National Development Task Force. Join us at the next meeting, Monday, July 25th at 5:30 p.m. as posted on KPFTX. Come prepared to participate in whatever way you can in every effort to secure a future for Pacifica Radio. Thank you.
I think we lost Lawrence. Lawrence, are you on the call? I tried texting him. I don't see him.
Yes, I'm on the call. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I hear you. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, I don't know what's going on with the Zoom link, but anyway, so I did submit a written report, and I believe that there is some executive session information that might be provided in the executive session. I did embed some motions, one from the audit committee, one from the National Programming, three from the National Programming Committee. Essentially, what the Audit Committee is saying is, whereas the PMB Audit Committee is entrusted with the to facilitate the audit process, that this can be carried out in a timely manner. Therefore, be resolved that the PMB Audit Committee urges the PMB to direct the PMB Finance Committee to look into any delays by the documentation required for the audit for FY 2021 and recommend solutions or corrections needed so that the audit 2021 can be carried out to completion in a timely manner. So I'll leave that, and then there's three motions. I'll leave that for members of the audit committee that are delegates to respond to that. I also embedded in my report three motions from the Pacifica National Programming Committee, and I'll defer to Ziri and Grace on these matters because they are on the Finance Committee. The reason why I had to get off of my computer because it decided to restart. And then there's the a mandate that was passed at the PMB in regards to soliciting discretionary funding from elected officials, which is also embedded in my report. I think the National Program Committee motions are important. I would ask for clarification as well as the Audit Committee motion. That's why I included it in my report, because from what I understand, the National Finance Committee should not be, it's not supposed to get involved with the audit. But unless there's an extenuating circumstance where financial information is needed in order for the audit to be completed. So that has been my understanding throughout the years that I've served on the audit committee and also on the PMB. And with that, Chair, I defer to the program committee members, delegates Ray Allen and Siri Rudeau, to clarify if anybody needs clarification in regards to the National Programming Committee motions, because they are very impactful in scope. So I would like to hear from them. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. We do have time on the agenda after we take some member Q&A regarding the director's reports. We have the PMB Committee of Inclusion and then 10 minutes for the other PMB Committee reports, so Michael, we will get to that.
Michael?
Yes, Ali?
Do you want my report?
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, first of all, I want to agree with everything in Beth's report and support everything she said, but especially what I want to point out in her report is that at this time of dire financial and physical hardships at the station and network, that all Pacificans are urged to set aside our many legendary differences now for the sake of Pacifica as a whole. So everyone, please, can we put aside the factionalism and other stuff and let's try and come together as we did a little over a month ago when we had a real emergency at KPFK, and let's all try to work together on this. The other thing I wanted to report also, she talked about the 2 days of fundraising, national fundraising, which I mentioned earlier, unfortunately did not reach the goal that we had hoped, but we will probably continue doing more national days of fundraising for the foundation. And then finally, I can't get into the details because of confidentiality, but I wanted to let everyone know that the national board and the ED is doing everything we can to retain the services of NITA for our network. That's all.
Yeah, NETA provides the accounting, and someone from NETA also functions as the CFO, ICFO. I see that Beth and Lawrence have their hands up again. Did you want to add additional director comments before we go to board discussion?
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to address one of the items that Lawrence brought up, specifically regarding the NFC and the audit. I wanted to make it clear, explicitly clear, that the NFC is in no way involved in preparation of the audit. There are times when it's necessary to track down financial information that is needed by our financial services provider to prepare the audit. And at times we've been requested to help track down that needed information. But that's an appropriate function of finance, of the finance committee and finance committee members and the financial people at each station. That's what we're there for. We are in no way involved in preparation of the audit. We wait like everybody else to receive it once it's been completed and filed and issued. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Lawrence?
Yeah, I had a question for listen to some of that special programming, and it was my understanding that the programming was going to be fresh and new, and a lot of the content that aired was rebroadcast from last year in regards to Family Hanger. Do you think that might have contributed to the low income stream on that?
Okay,
I'm going to answer.
Well, I think we're getting into discussion of the reports,
I'd like to make a quick comment quickly.
All right, go ahead, quickly.
I fully agree with Lawrence. Mark Torres was 100% in charge of what aired, and I was very disappointed that so much of it was old, reused fundraise programming. We had thought that at least 50% of it would be live and new, and it wasn't, and I do think that it probably contributed to the low returns on that. Like I said, those 2 days were 100% put together and run by the Pacific Radio Archives. Not to put him down, he did put a lot of effort into it, but I would have suggested some newer programming.
Okay, thank you. So I do want to have some discussion among the board in general, which the directors obviously are members of the board. That's all I was suggesting, is that we're into discussion as opposed to reports at this point. So I have, see hands up from Bella and Myla. We'll get the public comment in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto here. So I have a few comments and questions for the directors. I'm glad that Beth Van Gutten is promoting attendance, open meeting attendance to the National Development Task Force. That's very important. I really appreciate that, so that I can promote that through outreach. I am concerned about also the PRA programming. I have received a number of complaints that it was old news, stale, dated information. I mean, this is what continues to be very insulting to our audience, especially old timers. They know better. And so it was very difficult hearing all this old stuff. And on top of that, it was not properly promoted by KPFK, letting the listeners know that this was coming up with excitement. This did not help at all for the returns. I want to talk about the motion that came out of the audit committee. Just to let everybody know, that motion should have been submitted to the governance committee 2 months ago, but there were internal issues at the audit committee and it was delayed. And again, if this motion would have reached the PNB 2 months ago, we would have been much more ahead on the final audit completion. And they are,
thank
there
you,
is
92nd time.
Yes,
okay,
and there is
you.
one station
all right, thank you.
Responsible for that in the network. Thank you.
Okay, Myla, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Myla. I just wanted to say that it's my understanding. Well, first of all, I'm really pleased to hear that we're in negotiations to keep NEDA as a tremendous and irreplaceable service for this foundation at this time. And it's my understanding that the producing the fiscal year 2021 audit is a top priority for them, and that there's nothing that the PNB, no motion that can be passed that will impact that timeline. They're working as hard as they can to get that fiscal year 2021 audit completed. Thank you.
Thanks. Calling myself, I wanted to mention that I did put the station management in contact, or gave them contact information for the LA Unified Division of Adult and Career Education that has several programs at a few of their sites that do heating, ventilation, air conditioning repairs, and there might be hopefully that might assist in getting some of those repairs done. I want to emphasize what I raised earlier, and it's on the agenda, the PNB mandate to the local station board to seek discretionary funds from elected officials. And I did circulate that to everyone earlier and invited both the management and the chair of the PNB to come on the call to talk about it, but that didn't happen. So, and it wasn't emphasized in the director's reports, but I think that that's a significant mandate. My understanding was that the PNB chair was going to try to set up a meeting with the LSB chairs to figure out how to proceed with that. But the only response I got from any LSB members was Paul Roberson, who said that he is in touch with a number of elected officials and will try to work on that as soon as he finishes up this exam that he's working on. But I'm curious if there are any other members of the local station board who might have access to elected officials, either at the LA City or LA County level, or, you know, we do broadcast in Ventura County and San Diego. If people have any contacts with elected officials, please get in touch with me so that we can pursue this and see if there are some discretionary funds at city council accounts or county supervisory accounts that might be used for actual, you know, cash donations or infusions to KPFK. Thanks.
Yeah, I got my hand up, Lawrence.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
And I'm back in Zoom.
Yeah,
my computer restarted.
and it stopped. So I'm back. In any event, I'd like to get a sense of the way the LSB feels about this mandate. I have a lot of, by virtue of being an executive board member of one of the largest unions in California, in Southern California. So I do have a lot of assets, but I think this is a slippery slope of some sort, and I would definitely like to hear from the elected LSB members in regards to what they feel about this mandate, because I think it's somewhat of a slippery slope to engage in soliciting discretionary funds from elected officials. And somebody put in the chat that Gil Cedillo was defeated in this past election.
Yeah.
So he's no longer on the city council. But I just want to get a sense of what the board thinks about this mandate. And knowing that we are in a financial crisis and that the elected officials do have discretionary funds that are available to the community. I just wanted to get a sense of from the body how they feel about that.
So any comments from board members before we move on?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto.
Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, in my report under outreach, I will be addressing some of this, so I'd like to keep it for that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, excuse me,
that's not appropriate. I asked if there was any other board members that had any comments about this mandate, not for it to be restricted to a certain committee.
Okay, Bella thinks she'll make her comments then. Who has a hand up?
Beth?
Go ahead. I don't see you. But.
Yes, this is specifically regarding this. Yes, here in Ventura County, I have worked directly with our county supervisor for my district, the previous one. He's recently been bumped up to the assembly, so I'll have to reach out to him there and get to know this new guy. But he was the one who went so far out of his way to get funding for emergency, community-level emergency management training for the population. He reached out to get $25,000 to equip the local ham radio volunteer wagon. They have a trailer that they set up at in conjunction with emergency with first responders in the field. I know that there's a lot available along those lines. I do think it's important that we give some thought to specific guidelines. I'm sure it'll come up in our discussions about underwriting, but I think that we do share a lot of just public interest, you know, with both the nonprofit world and the public sector world do intersect in having an interest in public health and safety and public information and public education and that sort of thing. They often prepare, they can offer PSAs, or we can prepare some, and they may have underwriting available for that, for things like mass transit and other kinds of services available. So I wouldn't turn it down without looking at it. I do think we need to be smart about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're pressed for time, so if people have additional comments, we're going to have a further discussion about the advisability of this, but if you are interested in discussing it or in pursuing it, let me know. So we do want to get reports from the other PNB committees, including the PNB Committee of Inclusion. My understanding of Ellie is that you and Maricela both had issues with how much you can participate in that committee. So I'm wondering, did you want someone to replace you on the committee? Not sure if
this is Avelia.
Yes. Go ahead, Avelia.
want someone to replace me. I think it would be a good idea right now. Some major health problems.
Yeah.
Yes, let's say yes.
Okay. Thank you. So is there another director willing to serve on that committee of inclusion and try to help get it back on track? Because we do.
Chair. Need...
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
This is Lawrence. I do understand what Avilia is experiencing right now. And Avilia, my heart goes out to you. I have experienced a lot of medical concerns as well, and I still do. But I am willing to step up and convene the next COI meeting. But I would hope that another board member step up with me, or another listener from the public also step up and convene this Committee of Inclusion meeting, committee, because it is a very critical and important committee.
Thanks, so, Bella.
Yes, Lawrence, thank you. I am in that committee, and so is Paul Roberson, although he did not attend, but I am willing to work with you. As you know, I've tried doing this in the past, so I'm there.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, if we can get that going again, the committee has the power to add additional members, and if there are people, members of the community at large who are interested, please get in touch with Lawrence or Bella at this point, and we'll try to get that committee going again. So we also have many other PNB committee reports. Ziri, did you want to report from the National Programming Committee?
Yeah, I can, unless Grace wants to. Grace, do you want to say anything, or should I?
Go ahead, please.
Okay. So, so we met last Saturday, and it was basically we had invited a lot of people from all the news stations of the whole network, people who have a working news program. We brainstormed, found that we would like to share some of our domestic and international news, trying to figure out a way to do a news repository platform where news could be shared, how we could develop a national string and international a group of stringers to develop sound bites and stuff like this. And so we were networking with each other. It was very effective. A lot of people said that not a lot of multi-sided, let's say, views on news are presented. That is a pretty one-sided news that we're getting currently. And it was a very fruitful meeting, and to be continued soon. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll report from the National Elections Committee. The committee has been meeting. I was elected chair. We had, I attempted to get the meetings in general open. There was some resistance to that, but we set up a Zoom call for a working group, and I hope to schedule another one soon. We did have a pretty good discussion about efforts to cut costs and raise funds for the delegate elections, and we're still trying to comply with a mandate from the Pacifica National Board to come up with a timeline and a way in which we can hold the elections. We're already behind or off the bylaws schedule, which would have called for posting the position of the NES at the beginning of the year, hiring an NES by March, and launching the elections process in June with local election supervisors. There is no funding for any of that at this point, and so we have to figure out how to deal with that. We have a meeting of the elections committee on Tuesday, and I'm going to be proposing a second Zoom call to engage with members of the public if we can't get the committee itself open to general public participation. And some of the things on the timeline I think are essential is to make sure that whenever the elections are held, that there's plenty of opportunity for on-air candidate forums before any balloting goes out. There is discussion about how to economize, and one of the key methods for that is to make sure that there are valid membership lists maintained by management in advance of the elections process. I note that Jose Benavides came on the call. Jose, can you unmute and just indicate your presence so that the secretary can take note?
Yes, I'm present. I apologize. I was out far away camping.
Sure. Thank you. I guess we got the Finance Committee report. on the agenda. I mean, we'll hear from that from the treasurer, who's a member of the NSC, later on. So we do have time for additional public comments, 7.5 minutes, and then we can take the PNB director's response to the public comments. I see Jonathan Markowitz has a hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, if Ali is still on the call, I hope. I want to recommend that to promote fundraising events such as the Canto Tropical event. By the way, I need to know what the name of that restaurant is and the date and time of the event. Obviously, there needs to be a banner put on the homepage of the website for that. But I wanted to ask you, why not consider doing these outside fundraisers, especially if there's music performances, right, to have them live on the air, live streamed, live broadcast? And that's the first question. Second, I think there needs to be some regular carts put together for not only this particular fundraiser, not only during Canto Tropical show, but, you know, interspersed every day. I think that, you know, even though we have such a small audience, really knowledge about things like this are best driven by the station signal itself. So you have to get enough saturation over the 24-hour period. So I think that you know, these kinds of fundraisers could be developed so that there are more of them, especially, and that would generate a lot of interest within the radio, within the listener community. And word of mouth is very effective. So the station signal, I think, is not being utilized enough for this. And this would be a great way to expand the potential of fundraising. Thank you.
Yeah, hang on, Ali. There's a chance for a response after the public comment. Let's do that first, then we'll get to you. Thank you. Colin, you use a 4. You have a hand up, and then Andrew Weiss. Someone on the phone, you need to unmute. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Okay, thank you very much. I would like to know what the staff cuts that the PNB has ordered are. And in particular, I'm concerned, I'd like to know if there's an across-the-board rule. I know that at one point, back in 2013 at WBAI, they cut essentially 75% of our bargaining units. I would argue that we have not yet recovered. So I do not believe, I think you can cut fluff where you can find it. I don't understand what happened when you guys got a referral on a phone expert, in quotes, from a sister station that seems to have proven disastrous. I don't know what's up with that. It was a contract relationship, so you should be able to talk about it. It's not a station employee. But I'd like to know what the story is with the cuts, and I would like to know in particular with regard to a national program that I know airs on at least 3 other stations other than where it originates with you, what the story is with that, and how we can ensure that we are not subjected to endless rebroadcasts, because if you've cut someone's hours, they're not still producing the same number of programs.
What the story is with that, and how we can ensure that we are not subjected.
I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. At any rate, I'm concerned about the effect that the staff cuts are having on that national program, and whether that can be costed out so that stations that do, in fact, stations or listeners who would like to make a targeted donation.
Yeah, that was time. I don't know if you heard Michael Heist call time. Sorry, we're going to move to the next call.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, someone, I got thrown off when I don't know, I was staring myself at
you. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay, I'd appreciate that.
Just finish the thought, yeah. Okay, Andrew Weiss. Andrew, you have to unmute.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. The communications mandate passed by the PNB over a year and a half ago, which includes, among other things, reports on air by the local station boards, by the general managers, and also by the executive director, are incredibly important and so simple and easy to do and go such a long way. They're so important because they connect the listeners who fund the station with their general managers, with their LSB elected officials, and with the executive director, and allow them to give feedback, ask questions, keep them accountable, and provide their feedback about what they like, what they don't like, et cetera, and to offer their assistance as volunteers. And while the executive director supports doing these at every station and is trying to get this done, she tells us, Stephanie Wells, that she doesn't have the power to enforce it, that only the Pacifica National Board has the power to enforce this. So the Pacifica National Board needs to enforce this right away for this to happen. And I'm wondering, do they plan to do this? And if so, when? Hopefully right away. Otherwise, we will continue to be mismanaged and go downhill as we are doing. And I would like to hear a response from all of our PNB representatives. Thank you, Chair.
Michael?
Michael, you're muted. There you go. You're not muted.
Janine?
Oh, all right. Thank you. I wanted to just, I had posted in the chat that, you know, the audit committee, I recently heard that the audit was coming to $90,000 as a cost. And when I served on the audit committee last year, we've got a bid, just a contract to sign that, and where all it said was $70,000. And I remember at the time saying, don't we have an, shouldn't it be itemized with how many hours this is paying for, whatever? It's a way of cost control. And it seemed to be a good idea at the time. I don't think it ever came to fruition, and now I'm hearing it's $90,000. And this is kind of just an overall, I'm part of the finance committee for 3 years now here at KPFK.
Janine, you're not a member of the LSB. Why are you talking?
I'm sorry. She's talking because it's public comment. Please do not interrupt.
And that is very indicative to the adversarial nature of anyone bringing up any of the financial oversight that goes on in these committees. The finance committee has been very adversarial. And as we talk about NIDA, possibly, you know, going back and forth about whether they're going to be helping us in the future, we don't have general ledgers. We have no backup. And so I just encourage everyone to see both sides of what's going on in the Finance Committee when we are politely asking for thorough
support.
Thank you.
All right. Time has expired on public comment, according to the timekeeper. So we do have 4 minutes for the directives to respond. And I'm sorry, Mr. Goldstone, but we're out of time right now. So, and Nancy Sabar, you can have an opportunity in the next public comment. LSB members, we're not going to take at this moment. So the four directors have a chance to respond to the public comment for 4 minutes. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. In regards to personnel matters, I cannot discuss specifics, and I won't. And I don't know the percentages across all five stations in regards to the percentages of cuts that have been made in expenses. Maybe Beth, since she's on the finance committee, could possibly give us the percentages, but we cannot disclose employee information. So because for the labor law, because they are entitled to complete confidentiality. And in regards to the report to the listener, the other speeds have been doing that. I think the people that have been lax in doing it has been, although the ED makes a lot of public rounds, but she has not provided a report to the KPFK listeners, which I think I've encouraged her to do a national report to all listeners at all five stations. And the IGM has not done a report to the listeners since well, I don't even remember the last IGM or GM that did a report to the listener. So I share your concern, Andrew, and I am one of the squeaky wheels in regards to having a candid conversation and a candid report to the listeners because
15 seconds, Lawrence.
Okay, just 15 seconds, Michael, just real quick. So I think if listeners are praised to our challenges, that they will step up. And that has been my optimistic view from the very beginning. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other directors want to respond? Okay, hearing none. Go ahead, Beth.
This is Beth. Thank you. Yes, before I went to the PNB, I drafted and carried forth a motion specifically on this back in the era of Anyal Fields, and was also thwarted in getting any kind of implementation of it. The PNB has passed the mandate. That's what we're in a position to do. That's what governance is in a position to do. Beyond that, implementation would be up to administration. So I'll get up with Stephanie and see what we can work out. Maybe she's unclear as to the mandate or how much authority she has, but clearly the PNB has already weighed in on this. And so someplace the gears just aren't meshing, and I'll take it up with Stephanie directly.
Thank you.
Just a
I see your hands up again. Go ahead.
Andrew, what I will commit to do is, since I'm the chairperson of the PNB Governance Committee, and that's where the resolution came out of, I will put it on the agenda for the meeting on the 27th. But at the next board meeting, at the next Pacifica National Board meeting, I will bring it up as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I will point out to everyone that it is in the job description of the general manager, at least here at KPFK, and we emphasized it in the last search, and we'll emphasize it again in this search, that it's a mandate. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the Treasurer and Finance Committee report. Kim, are you with us?
I am here.
Go ahead.
So I sent out a written report, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to round off the numbers just for ease of my verbal presentation. So listener support year to date is $840,000. And that is still 50% lower than FY21, as I reported last month. So that has not improved. The total revenue year to date is $1,020,000. We have had two relatively small bequests to help that. And we're still 55% lower than last year. The average monthly expenses are $142,000, and expenses are still 39% less than 21. I mean, the personnel does fluctuate, and will, as board ops are being moved around or leave, and then we get others. And I will report that the phone expenses are finally down by 50%, which is a good thing. And so are credit card fees and call center, but that's only due to lower donations. So it's not actually a good thing. So year to date, net loss is $453,000. However, that is not including past due central services to P&O or PRA, nor to the prior payroll loans owed to P&O or age payables. And as Ali reported with better information than I have, the cost of the likely imminent air conditioning repairs or replacement And there also seems to be some sewage plumbing problems that may become a crisis at some point. So if I include in the year, the net loss, the central services and the payables, we are have a deficit of about $960,000. Making payroll or paying our bills at the end of this month is not, it's iffy. It's a nail biter. We must pay payroll, health bennies.
Hey.
Somebody mute? Payroll, health bennies, and the Southern California Edison electric bill. And this month we have to pay the call center. Apparently they're demanding that. So that's about $68,000. As of last week, we had a cash balance of $19,000. We're expecting $13,000 from sustainers next week. And the average deposits last week was $1,400. So it's very, very difficult. Now, the June fund drive was 32 days, 173 total pledges. Now, Ali's number is higher because he's including the flash points, which I'm not, but it should be. But I'm doing it without that. Because it was a walk-in, it wasn't recorded by Allegiance. Anyways, it's about an average of 5,400 per day. I sent you a bunch of the actual reports for you to look at. I could go through the top line numbers. But basically, mostly the highest earners in terms of overall dollars were all under $1,000 an hour. The number of hours with zero donations out of 768 hours was 180 hours got zero donations. 51 hours got one donation, and 79 hours got two donations. Between $1,000 and $2,000, 45 hours have that. Between $2,000 and $3,000, which is the highest amount, there were 3 hours. So all of the grid across the board is underperforming. And there was, it has been mentioned on the LSB report to the listener, E.D. Stephanie Wills was on that call. And she made a $250 pledge and said she would match any listener pledges up to $500. Lawrence pledged $100, but on the Allegiance report, there was only one donation for $250 from Stephanie. So the listener support for that show was nil, zero. I don't object to having a minority report if it deals with finances. As to personal grievances, that's another matter, and it does not belong here. I want to remind people or let people know I was elected a chair with 11 votes. Bella, who self-appointed herself to run against me, got one vote. So there, you know, there is a minority and they may be unhappy, but the majority is also unhappy about the constant disruptions and disrespect that slow down the meeting continuously. So there are complaints all around. And I just want to say the auditor fee has nothing to do with the local finance committee. at all. That is a national issue, and the way audits work is they make an estimate. That's it. That's the way audits work. So that's it. I'll take questions or comments.
Fred to the stack.
Thanks. We have time for discussion by board members. I have hands from Ruth and Lawrence. And was that Fred asking for the stack as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hang on a second. All right. So Ruth Strauss had her hand up first. Go ahead, Ruth.
Yeah, Kim, thank you so much for, I hate this trite word, but for such a granular approach. Now, number one, will we be able to see these programs, the names of, et cetera, in the finance committee?
Yes, I sent it. Well, I sent it to the LSB earlier today. And I'll send it to you. And okay. I'll send it to the finance committee before the meeting. I also think this should be taken up in the programming committee. This is the work that they should be doing.
Absolutely.
Looking into the programs. We're just looking into the money.
I have one other question. Does this include the expenses that are paid to Colonic Lady and Thermos Man and, the various other people that Blaisdell brings on? Because, it's been said she raises a lot of money, but I never know what we have to pay out to the people that she brings on. So if we could somehow get that information, and I hate to burden you with it, but if you tell me where that could be gotten, I could help out. Thank you.
Thanks. Lawrence is next, then Fred, then Bella.
Yes, thank you. And I just want to reiterate something that Ali Lexa said earlier. That it's time to come together and become a united front in regards to our financial situation. And where there's common ground, we should try to meet that common ground. And this constant bickering that's coming from the chair of the finance committee and the constant doublespeak in regards
point of order.
Somebody could
this speak. This is Myla Reason, point of order.
Whether somebody could
what's
speak.
Your point of order, Myla?
We have rules of decorum here, and I believe that
yes, but Myla, the chair of the finance committee and treasurer raised the discussion about the level of disagreement on the committee, and so people are entitled to speak to that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm just asking the chair of the the KKK Finance Committee to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, and just treat everybody equally across the board, because I think that's the best way of us finding common ground. And then in regards to my donation, Ken, or maybe Ali could answer this, where can I make a car donation? Can I do that online, Ali, or do I have to go to ActBlue or whatever? Please, if somebody could tell me that. And I'll make my $100 donation today. And I'd like to encourage my colleagues to meet that match because Stephanie Wells was quite generous in offering that pledge, and we should try to meet that match. Our colleagues or even those who were listening to the report to the listener.
Won't get that again. Yeah. If I get it, it won't be.
Barbara, please mute.
I
just like to encourage my colleagues to meet that match, and I will
make
the donation today. Thank you.
All right,
if
Fred.
He's asking, I'm responding. If he's asking for the car donations, I believe that is on the website. That if that's what he was asking, I think he was. And
okay.
Ali just put it in the chat. It works. I did it a number of years ago. It's a very good program, even though our donations from that is increased this year from last year as the economy in general is picking up. As for equally, I believe that everyone should get heard, but the minority should not dominate the majority, and that's equal. Everybody gets heard, but the minority does not get to dominate.
Okay, thank you. No, I don't want byplay at this point. Everyone, please stop. The next person up is Fred. I'm sorry. Mr. Reyes, thank you. The next person on the stack is Fred, followed by Bella, myself, Harvey Wasserman.
Okay.
Fred?
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Kim, I've looked, I'm sorry I only got your report early, just before the meeting, and I really haven't looked it over in detail, but the thing that really jumps out at you is the total income for the year is just, you stated here, is $843,000, and with bequest and major donations, it's just reaching $1 million. This for a station that for years and years raised on the order of $3.5 million a year. So then looking at, there have been major reductions in costs, I believe about 40%. But we're still running a deficit that's almost $1 million. So what that means is we're bringing in $100,000 a month, and we're running a deficit of almost $100,000 a month. You said things are bad. This is, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, I think things are bad and very bad. And I don't see that cutting is a solution. It's only going to make the station less able to function. I mean, I hear that people want the GM to, go on air and do a report. But this GM is, as has said before, working three jobs and trying to hold it down. People are stressed. They're overworked. And it's very difficult. I don't know how it gets from here to there because you can't keep doing the same thing. I mean, we're going to have to start a fund drive August 1 again. That has to happen. This is just not functioning. I mean, a
Mr.
program
Chair.
Here,
okay,
a programming
you.
There is not going to get us back to $3 million. It's not
thank
going
you.
To get us.
Okay, thank you. Bella is next, and then I have myself and Harvey in the stack. Go ahead, Bella.
Minority report, no minority report. The minority does not rule the Finance Committee, Kim, and you take a great deal of pride and pleasure in misrepresenting many things. So let the record be straightened, and that is the reason why you objected to my minority report, which would have been a very simple statement. But don't worry, because it's not ending here. What you have been doing, what has been happening at the audit, at the finance committee locally, must be exposed and everybody must know about it. And I also take issue with your numbers on this report. Somehow you missed out, you left out, attached our various fund drive reports by day, by program, by premium, in allegiance break. Report. And none of those numbers are there. You only keyed in on three top earners, which are Christine Blasdell, Margaret Prescott, and Maggie Lapique. But what about the rest of the programming grid? And you get asked the same questions all the time, and there's never answers. And on top of that, I want this body to know that you have declined the Finance Committee from switching over to Zoom video platform so that we can have easy access to all the financial documents. And this is also affecting us at the Finance Committee. It is appalling how you chair, Kim Kaufman. Thank you.
Well,
okay,
the majority seems to be very happy with it, Bella. And,
I'm sorry, please. I'm sorry. We're not having byplay right now.
I am speaking, Michael.
We're not going back and forth from every comment, Kim. You'll have a little chance at the end to respond to the board members. I'm the next on the stack. I have Harvey Westman, and then we'll have hear from Kim, and then we'll go to public comment. So I want to point out to everyone that as incomplete as the figures might be, what we've heard from the treasurer is that the on-air fund drives are failing to meet the financial needs of the station despite the cuts. That's the fundamental bottom line. You can massage the figures any way you want to, but the reality is that the program we have on offer, the way we present it, and the relatively incessant fund drives have diminished past the point of diminishing returns. We are not attracting the listeners that we need. We're not offering them the kind of content they want that they're willing to pay for, and that's the fundamental problem. I think that we have to have immediate measures to revive our connection to the community, starting with memberships. I've pushed this forward. I've asked. I got some positive response from the ED, but I think there needs to be a campaign to get people to sign up in the tens of thousands as members of KPFK and the other stations. And this problem is not unique to KPFK by any means. At least three of the stations are operating at substantial deficits, and the other two are, sort of barely holding their own. And with the low listenership throughout the network. And I think the fundamental problem is that we have to be engaged with the community in such a way that the community feels that the station is serving them. And in the absence of that, we can fight among ourselves all we want to, but it's not going to solve the fundamental problem. We have to have...
Michael.
Did you say 10 seconds?
90 seconds.
90 seconds. Okay, well, I'll just let it go to the other members of the board that wish to speak. So have Harvey Westman and Grace Aaron. Harvey, you have to unmute. Go ahead.
Well, Michael, I want to second everything you just said. What we have here is an absolutely clear vote of no confidence from the listenership and from the general public in the current way the Pacifica is being run. Thank you, Kim, by the way, for your great work. It's greatly appreciated. The only thing that's going to answer Pacifica's problems is an immediate, massive new election. We have to listen to the listenership, which is clearly dissatisfied with the programming and pretty much everything else at Pacifica right now, and give the public its say on how Pacifica should be run and what its programming should be. And the only way to do that is with a very fast, very widespread, widely publicized election to put in a new power apparatus and a new way of doing business in this network. The public is telling us that it does not like the way Pacifica is being run, and it does not like the programming that's going on. This is a progressive network in the middle of a fascist takeover in this country, and we are not responding to the progressive public that has made Pacifica what it is. We have to have an immediate, very soon election so that the public can say what it wants Pacifica to do. Thank you again, Kim. I would love to see, by the way, I asked you this last August, a full accounting of the legal expenditures that have been given to the Pacifica legal team. And we need a total public accounting of every expenditure that has been made to Pacifica in the last 2 years. And we have to open control of the network to the public immediately.
Thank you. I have Grace Aaron and then Lawrence Reyes.
Yes, I don't disagree with anything that anyone said. I don't substantially. However, and I thank Kim for this very dire report. Very important that we all understand that something has to be done, and something will essentially be done pretty immediately. An election, a new board wouldn't be seated for 7 to 9 months. So that's not a short-term immediate solution.
increasing listenership through improved programming, which is definitely needed. I agree with having an election. I agree with better programming, but that also could not possibly take effect to ameliorate the dire financial straits we are in now. What's probably going to happen, what's being discussed, is bankruptcy. That's out of the question, because the FJC loan has a bankruptcy clause, so the immediately when we declare bankruptcy, our buildings will be foreclosed on and we'll lose our buildings. And that's the other thing that might be done, and that is selling the KPFK building to pay our mounting debts. That's probably on the pipeline. What else can be done? I don't know. The other thing is bringing KPFK down to a skeleton crew or making it into a repeater station. I'm not advocating any of these things, but I'm saying that this is what's happening because we are in a very dire financial situation right now. Getting 10,000 new members is not going to happen within the next month or two. That's out of the question. It's unrealistic. Okay, so I hope you all digest this financial report. It's very important. Thank you.
Thanks. I have Lawrence, Ziri, Eric, and I put myself back on the stack, and then we'll take public comment.
Thank you, Chair. So the programming, as you said, it's not something that's fresh, and it's been essentially gatekeeped by those who have had management favorable to them, have used the airways to depress our donor base during the referendums. So, to conveniently blame somebody else because of this freefall that we've been in for over 10 years is really disingenuous. I think people that have been on the air for so long, they should step aside, and some bold moves need to be made to have fresh programming, have a news segment on KPFK that Ziri has proposed, and those are the type of things that's going to turn us around. You know, all of these New Day solutions and let me just say that bankruptcy is going to be very expensive, and it's going to take a long time. It's not just an immediate thing. And also with the constraints from the FJC loan, and plus the fact that it's going to take a long time to file for bankruptcy as an option, that I don't see that as an option. What I see as an option is refreshing the grid, having new and refreshing programming content that is completely out there. As Mr. Wasserman points out, we are living in fascist times, and I don't understand how we can make that connection. We had the worst fascist president, the most racist president that we ever had, and yet we did better when Bush 1 and 2 were presidents than we did with this reactionary that we had as president before. I don't find the connection. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Ziri, then Eric, and Ruth.
Thank
and
you.
Then we'll go to public comment.
I think the main problem is, yes, the programming, and we're working on this, and there is a lot of dead wood there, absolutely. But what I see is the main problem of my generation is actually the website and the online presence that we basically don't have. If I send anybody to our website, they're telling me, is this a joke? They can't even donate on that website. They can't find their way around. It looks like it's the 80s. And so this is, I think, the most urgent thing that we have to get our programming on online presence and have a reasonable website. And so no offense, Ali, I know you have a lot of things you're doing right now in all different directions. Maybe you don't have time for the website. I really think we should get young people from universities to help with this website, to give us an actual outreach, because there is still some good programming there. People just don't find us because we're not using the technology of our time. This is what we mostly lag behind. It's not even just the content. It's actually the way how it's being delivered. People don't listen to the radio so much anymore, other than people over 70 maybe. And my generation doesn't even have radio. So we need to get our online game on. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Eric and then Ruth, and then we'll go to public comment. And I have a couple of people already waiting. Go ahead, Eric.
So when I was a candidate in 2019, I referenced the need for outreach to affluent individuals who have a personal history and track record of being in rough alliance with the one or more aspects of the Pacifica mission statement, who might be able and willing to provide generous donations to Pacifica as a whole. And I think this is perhaps even more essential now, because we are obviously facing some macro and structural changes in society that have pretty much undermined the ability of Pacifica to use exclusively the fund drive technique for all of its budgetary needs. So there are really quite a large number of such individuals. Some of them run foundations. They are in close alignment. I've investigated this a little bit, and I'll be sharing some of my recommendations with the executive director and the fundraising and the development task force prior to our next meeting. We really now have to have some very serious conversations with what you might call fellow traveler, fellow travelers, and
I believe we're at 5 minutes for this.
Five seconds. fellow travelers in the left liberal community in the United States, and we have to ask for some help in solidarity financially.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to go to Ruth, and then we'll take the public comment. Ruth Strauss, you're the last board member.
Yeah, hi. Eric's idea is great, and we can start with all the quote-unquote movie stars or whoever that already have carts on KPFK. Hi, this is Halle Berry. You know, you're listening to whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, since I'm new, when people talk about having a new election, can you just tell me a new election of what? Thank you.
Yes, as I said earlier, there was a delegates election scheduled for this year. We're already behind schedule on it. It was supposed to be the job posting for the National Election Supervisor in January and fill that position by March, and then hired local election supervisors and begin the election process for delegates in June. None of that has happened because of the financial situation we're in. We're trying to figure out how to get the elections back on track in terms of cost cutting, fundraising, and a new timeline to try to get the elections completed. So that's up at the P&B level.
Thanks. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. So
Chair, this is Kim. You said I could respond.
Okay, quickly. So we'll take the public comments after that. Go ahead.
So programming is a big issue because it's what people hear and have opinions about. Michael has his idea of what community is. I want to remind people that Ian Masters has historically one of our largest fundraisers, and so was Sonali. And both of them were chased off the air. I mean, repeatedly and for years, and they finally, left. So it depends. That was a big community that left with Ian and Sonali. So, there are a lot of different communities out there that need to be satisfied. And without a program director or GM, this is all sort of magical thinking right now.
Mr. Chair, point of information, Bella.
What's your question,
point
Bella?
Of information.
What is your question, Bella?
Mr. Chair, the ED... Stephanie Wells is on the call. Stuart Landau, and so is the KPFK. And I would like to hear from them, Mr. Chair.
Well, we're at public comment, and at this point, if the ED wants to speak, she's certainly welcome to do so. Stephanie, I don't see you, but if you're here, please feel free to chime in.
Can we get Paulina to mute, please?
Please, everyone, please mute if you're not speaking. No, that's not Paulina. I don't know where that's coming from. Anyway, I don't hear Stephanie. I don't think I see Stephanie on my screen, so I'm going to go to the public comment.
She's on the iPhone.
If she's free to speak if she wishes to. I don't hear her. I don't see her. Call in user number 5 is what I see with a hand up for quite some time. So go ahead. It's a person on a phone with their hand up. So they press the star 9 on their phone. Please speak.
You have to, okay, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So I think the LSBs need to get a copy of the ED contract. The people who were in charge of the personnel committee, at least one of whom is on this LSB, did some funny business, if I could use that expression. I don't know whether they brought it to the attention of the outgoing PNB that they had put restrictions in the ED contract, as I understand it from another KPFK meeting I listened to, that are different from what other EDs have had to work under, so that they've taken authority over personnel, and there was another manner in which they changed her contract that contradicts actually both the ED job description and the GM job description. That is severely problematic, because that the ED is willing, quote, willing to comply with the policy that says you need to do a national call-in program, and she's waiting to be granted the time. What the hell are we talking about here? That's not for the PNB to arrange. The ED should be able to direct that. So someone needs to find out what's in that damn contract. With regard to the control of other people's speech, Fred interrupting Janine during public comment here. Kim almost having a cow when I was on the KPFK LSB Finance Committee meeting, and I am a member of KPFK, but I need not be.
Point of order. This is out of order.
I'm sorry, Myla,
public
please.
Even for public comment,
no, it's not
public
that.
Comment
okay,
is
Myla.
Not time to attack people personally. This is outrageous and should not be allowed.
You're at 90
all
seconds
right.
Anyway, caller.
Okay, thank you. Laura Levinson is next.
Excuse me, what happened?
The caller did not allow, was not allowed to finish because of the interruption by the a board member.
Okay,
Jerrine Roberts.
I say that we give another 15 seconds, Chair.
And you are not supposed to be outing.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Excuse
no
me. Excuse
it.
Me. Everyone.
Double speak.
No one can speak right now but the chair. Please stop calling out of turn, everyone. The caller who was speaking has a few more seconds to complete their comments, and then we're going to Laura Levinson.
Kim having a cow when I spoke on the LSB Finance Committee, although, of course, she comes to the WBAI LSB Finance Committee. We're having one on Wednesday. You're all welcome. You spent 20 minutes trying to block something from being on the agenda that would have taken 2 minutes to do. I asked for what is our PSA policy in New York, and some folks had a cow there, spent about 10 minutes. Arguing against my being able to ask the GM whether we have a PSA policy and what's in it. There's something wrong when free speech radio people try to block other people from saying things with which they fear they might disagree. We can't survive with that.
Expired.
Thank you. Laura Levinson is next. Laura, go ahead. You have the floor. Took her hand down. I guess she doesn't want to speak. Andrew Weiss?
Yeah, Chair, this is Andrew. Please put me after other people who haven't had a chance to speak yet.
Okay, Sheila?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Sheila Hamanaka. I'm a listener from WBAI, and I think you should sell tickets to your LSD meeting. They're quite exciting. Anyway, I just have a few points. I had to write them down. I'm wondering why the general manager at KPFT was canned when the deficit at KPFK is so much larger than the one at KPFT. Okay, so that's a question. I'm sorry if I arrived late. This might have been raised before. The other thing is that I would advise in terms of looking at programming, that programming should not be decided on the basis of money. That the important thing is that Pacifica must always follow its mission first. Because what ends up happening is that audiences that have been underserved and underdeveloped by these stations are going to give this fewer of them, they're going to give less money. So they're going to get axed first because, oh, you know, 32 shows, I heard this at KPFT, didn't bring any money at all. You know, that's it. Wrong. That's the wrong way to approach it. In terms of raising money, I wonder if the stations have looked into micro fundraising. That is, people have less money now, so they're going to respond less. They're going to respond less to $250 premiums. However, if you had an app that allowed people to immediately respond to a program, they hear something they like, they can push a button on their phone and donate 50 cents or a dollar. And then when that amount reaches $25, you know, bingo, they become a member.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I want to read the comment from much earlier in the chat from Laura Levin, since she has her hand back up. Maybe she wants to. You want to speak, Laura? Go ahead. Laura, you have the floor. I don't hear. I'll read what you have in the chat. Mike, maybe someone will read. This is about the possibility that someone at the station has censored the Mitch Jesuit's Letters in Politics Thursday episode on COVID and monkeypox. It was science-based but very accessible. Also had listener call-ins. I didn't get a chance to listen live, so I went to the KPFK archives. Our archives had a repeat of the Wednesday episode on People's Park. They cut out Wednesday's news, and so they added 8 minutes of music at the end. I have no idea if this was also done at the actual time of the broadcast. The COVID program is on the KPFA archives.
Chair, request for information?
Yes.
I'd like to ask that the public comment stack be exhausted, because I believe this is the last session for public comment, and I certainly would like to hear from everyone.
I second that, Bella.
We have this period and one more public comment, actually. So we'll continue with the 7.5 minutes and come back to it.
Margot Iser has not spoken.
Right. Margot, and I have some with an 832 area code. Margot, go ahead. You have to unmute, Margot.
Star 6.
No, she's on a computer.
Oh.
All right, while she's looking for that, someone on the phone, 832, you have your hand up. Go ahead and speak. Area code with your hand up. Please go ahead.
This is Janine Roan. I got disconnected, so I...
Okay, all right. That's not you, though. Oh, is that you on the phone? Because
it's both. It's both.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I just wanted to briefly give a little overview of what's going on in the Finance Committee, because Harvey Wasserman just came on and was asking for the details of the legal fees. And we at the, you know, Finance Committee have, you know, there used to be a time, my understanding, that there was a full set of financial documents that were given to the Finance Committee every meeting. And that has stopped. I've been there for 3 years. And since the request for those documents, again, general ledgers, which give every single expenditure and is a great reference when you have questions, it actually would shorten the meetings, we've been denied them. And ever since those requests started, that's when the adversarial nature began. And right now, NIDA, basically Julia Kennard, has told us that we do not get details of the legal fees because the legal entities don't want us to have it because they're afraid it would get out to the public and there would be backlash. And that's just really unacceptable. So I just want people to understand the history. This adversarial nature has started only about a year and a half ago, and that is at the core of it, because those same people asking for that are the same ones that are demonized in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Margot, go ahead and unmute.
He does not know how to.
I don't know. He's not a computer. All right. Well.
The space bar. If she can.
I've got it.
Go ahead, Margo.
I just want to say that agreeing with people who say you cannot judge programming, whether it's worthy or not, by how much money it raises during unfund drives. And by the way, Sonali, or however you pronounce her name, has a program that's put on at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, and she's actually doing a very good job. She's learned how to do interviews and things like that. It's very pertinent. There are several other programs that could be put on that are now just even not even on the air. Like they just took off the bike program and put it on the air. There's other programs that could be on once a week, like even Laura Flanders could be expanded to an hour. There's some other ones that have been put on the, you know, just on podcasts. These would bring in more people if they were consistently on the air because they talk about interviewing. And I'm even going to say something about Stephanie Miller. I watched her on for the first time on Netflix or something. Her programs are good, only she did cut off an important person with the interviewing, and that was not good, and she should stop with the, you know, fart zone. But the point is there is a lot of different programming that's not given enough airtime. And as far as Ian Masters, I don't know. He was bad-mouthing the station and things like that. Maybe he could be on once a week. There are some programmers that are on once a week, and then they have their maybe their other programs on the archives, and that's okay too. But they also pitch, like I don't want to get him in trouble, but Brad Friedman, he pitches for KPFK regularly.
Okay.
And that's good. Okay,
thank you, Margo.
I just want a lot more creative use of programming. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We have about 20 minutes, so we have to end the call, or maybe even less at this point. So I'd like to get a motion to extend for about 15 minutes.
So moved, Bella.
Is that okay with people?
Second large.
Okay, we're just going to vote on it quickly to extend for 15 minutes till 1:15 because it's already 10 to 1. Ralph, can you call the roll on extending for 15 minutes? Ralph? Ralph Hawkins, you with me? Yeah. There you go.
I was jumping around a little bit there. Okay. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Jose Benavides? Jose, are you with us?
Just go on.
Okay, Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Fred abstain. Sandy Childs.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Sandy. Marisol Cruz.
She left.
Sandy's about to.
Marisol left the call. Please proceed.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Ophelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Alexa?
Abstain.
Ali abstains. Rob Macon?
Yes.
Rob Oates, yes. Barbara Marbach?
Yes.
Oye, Oyeyepo?
Yes.
Thank you, Oye. Myla Reason?
Abstain.
Myla abstains. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you, Lawrence. Siri Rideau?
Yes.
Siri votes yes. Ruth Strauss?
Is this to extend?
Yes, for 15 minutes.
Yes.
Ruth votes yes. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Thank you, Oscar. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Very good. Beth Von Gooden?
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman?
Yeah.
Okay. Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Thank you. Jose Benavides?
He's going secretary.
Okay.
Okay.
Chair votes yes.
Chair votes yes. Okay, one moment.
Oh, come on. We know. It's yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So We'll get to Kelly, but yes.
This is Kim. May I make
Kim.
One comment? It'll be less than 30 seconds. I was named in the public comment.
Quickly.
I just want to say the Finance Committee has never received the documents that Jeanine is claiming we used to receive. Never.
Bills,
you need a director to do that. That is not my purview, you know, and I'm not going there.
Thank you. Okay, so
the secretary wants to report the tally.
Go ahead.
You don't have time for me?
Go ahead, please. Proceed.
17 yes, 0 no, and 3 abstentions.
Thank you. Okay, so we're at time for the LSB committee reports, and we have an additional public comment period of 7.5 minutes. The governance committee is still considering revisions to the committee membership policy, and we probably will be reviewing the decorum policy based on the fact that the current policy only relates to Zoom meetings, and we can't leave it at that. I guess at some point we will return to in-person meetings. I think there's a motion under new business related to that. Programming Oversight Committee? Beth?
Yes. Yes. The KPFK Programming Oversight Committee held its regular monthly meeting Monday, June 20th, with 14 people present. Siri Rideau reported on progress in developing a local news initiative. We went on to ask the question, which way KPFK, acknowledging that our programming has to change if the station is to survive. We discussed what to keep, what to drop, and what new to introduce. The dialogue will continue tomorrow at the next Programming Oversight Committee meeting, at which all will be asked to identify their personal top and bottom 10% of current programming. The KPFK Programming Oversight Committee meets again tomorrow, Monday, July 18th at 4 p.m., as posted on KPFTX. Thank you.
Thank you. The Outreach Committee, Bella, regarding the town hall.
Yes, we met on the 31st of June. The audio Otis McClay has not posted yet the audio or the transcript that I submitted. So he should be doing that sometime soon. It takes him a while. On Friday, we are going to be having strictly virtual town hall. 2 weeks ago, I submitted all the information and the on-air promotion with imagery for the digital banner to both Mo Thomas, Ali Alexa, and the ED. Mo Thomas responded, receiving it, but beyond that, there has been no communication between management and the outreach committee, and I'm concerned about that. And I'm working on doing the translation in Spanish for the on-air promo. On Friday, myself and Jeanine Ron went out into the community and we met with a very important asset in our community in Hollywood, where we can start doing partnerships and begin also applying for grants for cultural on-air programming. And this is very critical. With the LA County Cultural Affairs and the City County Board of Supervisors. And these are grants that we can do in partnership. And this is what they want to see. They want to see partnership, collaboration between community nonprofits. So we're working on that and putting a proposal together. I wanted to mention that KCRW recently received such a grant in the area of $40,000 to $60,000 to use up within 2 years. But it takes them, there is a time window, and we only have through the end of September to apply for this. So we're moving fast on that. In the meantime, we want, it's too bad that we were not able to coordinate a hybrid event, but we are planning on our next town hall event this year in a hybrid fashion. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat when the immediately arriving town hall is, the first town hall?
It will be on July 31st, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time.
And that's a Sunday, a week from...
And that is a Sunday. That is the last Sunday of the month. That is correct.
2 weeks from today, you said, at what time?
1 to 3 p.m.
Thank you. Okay, a fundraising committee, Janine?
Hi. Okay, so the fundraising committee meets the first Monday of every month, and last month or earlier this month on the 4th was a holiday. June 6th, we had no quorum. And so I wanted to first sort of express some frustration that there's so many ideas about fundraising right now, to the point where even the station is getting behind a programmer, and you know, we're having this event that that Ollie talked about. And you know, to me, it's a waste of energy. And I think that the people from the committee were sensing this, that there's just not, it's not getting centralized to one place. So I just want to re-invite everyone, both the LSB members and listeners, to come and join the meetings on, so our next one is the 1st of August. And I spoke yesterday with Stephanie, RED, and, you know, I brought up all the initiatives that have just been kind of flailing because we, you know, we're on our fourth GM since the committee was revamped in September, and it just seems like we're not getting the green light to do anything. And I was happy that she was so positive about everything that I reviewed with her. I talked about the phone banking that Michael and I did a little trial run on that has the potential of bringing anywhere from like 3,000 to 5,000 a weekend. If we were to do shifts at the station, we just need to figure out where in the building we can do it, who's doing the calling, does the phone system need to, can they withhold the phone calling, or can people use their cells? So these are all small details. And she said that Mo should be my point person, but maybe I can start to bring Ali into these conversations with her and these status updates, because I feel like if I can update her, she's going to become busy, I think, with something in the middle of August. How long do I have, Chair?
I'm not the chair, I'm the timekeeper. It's 1 minute on the agenda, and you've gone 2 minutes.
I have 1 minute on the agenda for a committee
report.
That's
okay. Take another minute, too, because we extended the time for the whole meeting, so just try to complete it.
Okay. So she was in favor of that. She was also had a lot of experience with online auctions, which came from Andrew Weiss, and Bella did a lot of research, and many of us from the committee were on a Zoom trial presentation. So I'm hoping, you know, what we really need is more people to be on task force. Each one of these things could use a task force. So that we're not just talking about stuff, we're actually doing actions. And then I also asked her about a third item, which was a social media, like a trial initiative of social media. And Ziri, I could talk to you more about this, where we, you know, do a very small video and promote the uniqueness of the station, promote the issues it's having, and then promote the solutions that we're doing, which is Ziri, a lot of it, we could highlight the news department being rebuilt with volunteers and so on. And then we do a trial run of a month and blast it on, I don't even think there's a TikTok for KPFK. And she was very much in favor of this. It probably will need a little bit of funding. And I asked if there would be any issue if I did a personal GoFundMe with a very minimal amount of money to be able to pay people to edit, whether they're students or whatever, for their time and their online promotion time to do that sort of thing. So if we could get this committee strengthened, I really believe it could do a lot more. So I just want to encourage people to start showing up to the meeting and participating. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the next one you said is Monday, August 1st. Is that right? At what time?
7 o'clock, and the Zoom link is on the KPFTX, but it's also a working group on Mondays, which is tomorrow as well.
Okay, thank you. Grace, did you want to report briefly from the GM search committee?
Yes, a brief report, but I wanted to make a comment about something.
Okay, go ahead.
Been said. Thank you, Janine, for that good report. However, I would like to be very you all to be very careful about auctions, online auctions. I would like to remind everybody that in 2019, the California Attorney General found KPFK guilty of penal code violations. This is criminal violations, and it took much money. We had a lawyer work with the California Attorney General's office to roll this back and to do everything that that office requested of us. We could have lost it. In 2019. Wait a second. The National Board forbade raffles. Now, online auctions may be different, but I would suggest that that the legality of doing that be researched thoroughly, because it might be problematic.
If okay, I can respond, it's a platform used widely by many, many nonprofits, and it's perfectly legitimate. It's not a raffle at all.
Okay. Well, I still think that for a radio station, there might be FCC guidelines that we would be. I would think that it might be researched and given the green light legally. I have nothing against it, except that experience in the past with raffles, which are not auctions. I understand. Now, the GM search committee is going along well. We meet every week, and I would like to encourage anyone and everyone to promote this job listing. You can find it at kpfk.org. You can also find it at pacifica.org. On the left side as you're facing your screen, there's a drop-down that says jobs, and it's listed there. That'll give you all the information if you want to put it on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, wherever. We're still, the applications are still open. So that's all I have to say. Also, if you need anything, if you have any questions, please contact me, graceaaron@gmail.com. If you'd like to chip in for a paid ad, that would be much appreciated. Also, just contact me. And that's all.
Okay, thanks.
From the GM Search Committee.
Lawrence, Beth, and Myla have their hands up. It's just regarding any of the committee reports you just heard, because we do want to take the public comment. And
hold on, because I had my hand up before Grace jumped us back to make a comment. So,
I called on Grace about the GM search committee.
Right. I support Janine's efforts in trying to bring in funding streams, additional funding streams. I just want to mention that if you can only go back a year and a half or 2 years in regards to the history of our the legal expenses, let me just tell you, it's frivolous lawsuits that have been filed by some on this board that are associated with the people that have filed lawsuits. I would say 80 to 70% of our legal expenses are as a result of those lawsuits. Those frivolous lawsuits that are ongoing, and they keep coming up because people are intent on looting or ruining this network. So I just wanted to say that it's not just the last year and a half or last 2 years, as somebody has said earlier. So this has been going on for years. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, Miley, do you have something to say regarding the committee reports, sir?
Yes, I do. I want to thank Janine for all of the good ideas, and I'm just kind of curious about whether the fundraising committee has any thing to show for in terms of actual money that's coming into that has come into the station or the network as a result of your efforts so far. Although, you know, as I said, as far as I know, nothing's come in yet, but a lot of these ideas are good. And then I also would just like to remind people that it was Pacifica that initiated the lawsuit against New Day Pacifica.
Okay, thank you.
To stop the will of the voters who had voted 55% to change the Pacifica bylaws. It was Pacifica get sued in order
to...
All right, thank you. We're just to respond to your question quickly, Janine and I did do one attempt of using the phone banking. We did get a fair number of people who explained why they had dropped or agreed to start pledging again. So there was some money that did come in from that. But we're almost at time for the meeting, and we have 7.5 minutes. We have 7.5 minutes of public comment.
This would take 15 seconds, Chair.
Okay, quickly.
You said Chair, there'd be no back and forth.
I'm sorry. Lawrence, leave it alone. I'm sorry. Leave it alone, Lawrence. We have public comment. John Markowitz and Andrew Weiss, Jim Dingman.
That's a problem. You let these people...
Please stop. John Markowitz has the floor. John, you have to unmute yourself.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say that that all of the ideas, whether it be the problem that Stephanie is having with getting a report to the listeners happening at KPFK and the other stations, and whether in regards to notification to Pacifica's listeners about fundraisers, which as I just suggested, hopefully Ali's still on the call. The issue is that the station management and staff are essentially really completely in control of what goes out on the air. And what's happening is that they're really not using the airwaves to promote the needs of the foundation and of the station at this point. And the schedule needs to be utilized in a way so that carts are saturating all of the different portions of each day's programming. Instead of having so many, bumper announcements that you're listening to KPFK and blah, 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 the programs can do that when they come in on the show or whatever is required under FCC. We need to have more announcements for these fundraisers, whether they be events that are happening outside. This is, as I said, this is a good way. Ali's
time.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take.
It's already over.
It's 90 seconds per speaker, John, and you finished your time.
Thank you.
I'm going to call on people who have not spoken yet in public comment. So that's Jim Dingman and Michael Heiss. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. I just have a brief comment. And I want to reinforce what Lawrence said about the frivolous waste of money on these lawsuits, which number in the hundreds of thousands. Imagine if they were used to create programming. One thing I'm gathering from listening to a lot of the comments around the country in the different boards is that we have to have as a goal to, and I don't know how the hell we're going to do it this quickly, but we have to figure out a way to jump the amount of people listening to each station up to about 200,000 a week. And that's a hard task. It is a hard task. That means we basically have to increase it by 200 to 300%. Very rapidly. But until we do that, or until we don't do that, we're going to be completely stuck in these financial problems, which are just detrimental and negative. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Heiss?
Yes, this kind of crosses a couple of the committee questions. There was something that appeared on the splash page of the website and then sort of disappeared about potentially doing something with, I believe it was Cal State LA or some Cal State thing with regard to programming and news. And I wonder if anybody can address that. And I would also just like to throw in the mandate to reach out to local constituencies. I would remind everybody that within the listening area, it's not just LA County and LA City, but it's everything from West Hollywood and Beverly Hills to Inglewood and Buena Park and North County, South County, and all parts in between. And I would just put in a word that if you are involved with any of those incorporated city constituencies to consider bringing that issue up to them as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have about 3 minutes left. I see a bunch of hands up, and I do want to reserve time for the new business, which is just a brief announcement. So if people can restrict themselves to about less than a minute, I have a hand up on the phone, 832. Is that the same as Janine, or?
No, that's someone else.
Okay, 832, go ahead. 832 area code. You just muted yourself.
832 area code?
That's not you. It's a person on the telephone with an 832 area code. Please speak. Otherwise, we're going to move on. Okay, moving on. Janine, you're next. Take a minute.
I just wanted to add quickly about part of the conversation about phone banking, because the reaching out to the membership and letting them know that we care is huge. The and also cleaning up our membership list. This keeps coming up in all the election committees, that even the NES in her final report for last year talked about how the lists aren't clean. And this is a way for us to make sure that we have the membership list is in line, and we could be doing it every single weekend, and letting people and letting the membership engage with us. It's just really important. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Sheila, less than a minute, please.
Okay, thank you. 2 points. One, 40% of people in Los Angeles speak Spanish at home. And I think KPFK could start thinking outside the box, which is at the possibility of turning the station into a Spanish language or bilingual radio station. That's really radical. Think about it. Spanish speaking listeners listen more to the radio than anybody else in this country. The second thing, and 75% of young people under the age of 18 in California are indigenous or people of color. The other thing is that I think the National needs to radically redesign its website. It's very dull. It looks very old fashioned. They need to make access to all the stations by topic. For example, Black programming, peace programming, Spanish language programming, because people are podcasting. They're looking for certain kinds of programming.
So I'm sorry, we're at time. I just want to allow Bella to introduce an item on the new business, and then we have to adjourn. We're at time certain. Bella, speak quickly, please. You had a motion to rescind or revise.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto here. I, Bella DeSoto, move to rescind the motion on meeting the quorum approved by this body on 2/16/2022. This motion, because I gave notice last month at this body, requires a second, and with the previous notice, a majority vote without previous notice. So it can be moved by anyone, regardless of which side you're voted on, if you were in the prevailing or the other. Whereas the PNB resolution concerning Pacifica Zero Tolerance Policy, No Violence, which was annexed and amended to the original motion meeting the quorum, passed on March 26, 2010, has nothing to do with the motion adopted by the KPFK LSB on 2/16 concerning meeting the quorum, as its purpose is to maintain electronic meeting order, not in-person meeting the quorum, which the PMB resolution addresses. However,
okay, I'm sorry, we don't have time to read the entire motion, so you're just noticing it, and I think that it's going to have to go to the Governance Committee to deal with.
Point of order?
We're at time certain. I'm sorry, we can't go any
point
further.
Point of order.
What's your point of order?
It needs to be voted on before it goes to the Governance Committee. I mean, there's no motion. We don't, you know, nobody knows what it is, so it can't go to the Governance Committee. She made a motion to rescind it by the LSB.
Chair?
They have to vote on it.
Mr. Chair, this is a point of order, Chair.
I'm sorry.
It's a member of the board. How can she bring a point of order?
Point of order, Chair. Proper point of order.
What's your point of order, Mr. Reyes?
This is a motion to simply notice the rescinding of a motion, and I believe...
No, it is not. No, it is not.
I'm sorry. We do not have time to discuss the motion, and so it's going to get referred to committee. There's nothing else to do about it at this meeting. We're at time certain. We actually have adjourned.
And, Chair, for the future, the Treasurer's not supposed to be making a point of order or motivating a motion or poisoning the well.
Okay, thank you.
Does not allow that.
This is unbelievable how you handled this, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'm sorry. We're at time certain, and it's past it. So the meeting has adjourned, and we extended the meeting for 15 minutes. You had the opportunity to introduce it, and that's all that we can get done at this meeting.
This was already noticed last month, Mr. Chair. This was noticed at last month's LSB. So this is the time to go over the voting of this motion.
Okay,
this was already noticed. It's in the minutes of last month's LSB. Mr. Tatum has his hand up.
Anybody can have their hand up. The meeting has adjourned. We reached the time certain for adjournment. We extended for 15 minutes.
I'd like to recognize Mr. Tatum
because he might be able to clarify this.
Anybody can speak, but the meeting is over. Thank you.